Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Brother 22 Roundtable Podcast. This is the podcast where we break down everything from the feeds, and on this particular podcast, we will be talking about the legacy of these returning all-star players on Big Brother 22. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me tonight is Matt. How you doing, Matt?
I'm good. I'm excited to get into it. We've had a couple crazy days since that last HOH comp. So it's crazy how within 2 days, still so much to talk about. So looking forward to it.
Yes. Also with me is Asia. How you doing, Asia?
I'm doing well. I'm so glad the feeds have been how they are, because I definitely, at the end of that HOH, when Memphis was crowned HOH, I thought, oh my gosh, this is about to be the most boring week I've ever seen, but it didn't turn out that way. So I'm so glad to be here talking about it.
Yeah, it didn't quite turn out that way. No. Also joining me is Dallas, who is I played Sequester with. He's a big Brother fan. Dallas, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm ready to break down the amazing all-star gameplay that we've been seeing the last couple weeks.
All right. Very excited to talk with you guys. We will be discussing everything that's been going on the feeds since the last time we had a roundtable. So around Tuesday, there wasn't too much that happened from Tuesday to Thursday, but there's plenty to catch up on from this week. And then we'll get into the state of the house and the legacy watch. So let's get into it. What are the most important events from the previous week, from before Thursday, on the feeds in the house, was that Nicole Anthony walked in on Cody, Franzel, Tyler, and Danny scheming. And she was like, oh, they were definitely scheming. They were definitely doing something. They were doing something sketchy and they covered it poorly. And I caught the four of them. And she was trying to tell people this prior to the eviction, but it didn't really go anywhere. But that happened, and it's going to be important for the story of this week so far here, Matt.
Yes, it did, which is crazy because, well, not crazy, but like Nicole is obviously a very important person that's going to be talked about a lot tonight. Since the season began, we've been talking a lot about people and their specifically very bad reads that have been happening. And Nicole is absolutely one of those people, you know, along with many other people in the house. But she walked into this room. She saw this, you know, she saw this group. And I don't know if you consider that a read or not, because it's something that she actually saw before her eyes, but she brought it back to people. And, you know, it's been, I guess, the closest she's been to kind of being correct about something in a while. But as, you know, days have gone on, a lot of this has kind of been mixed up here and there. So it doesn't seem like we're, you know, using any of that towards anything good for Cole's game at the moment.
Yeah, it's I mean, to be fair, like many people have walked in on these guys who have been like totally scheming. Like Day walks in on them talking game constantly. And she's getting some okay reads elsewhere now, but she doesn't seem to always catch them when they're talking game. So I will give some credit here to Nicole Anthony that she did manage to catch these four, and they aren't really a tight four. There's no official alliance of the four of them, but it's close enough, Asia.
Right. Very much so close enough. It's close enough to being that side of the house. And so, you know, when Nicole caught them, I was like, this is going to be Big Brother 21 all over again, because she has the right information and just doesn't know what to do with it. And so I think that the fact that that other side is so convoluted and all the tangling webs, it's kind of hard for her to even justify that when telling someone else about this alliance that she caught talking, because they're like, oh, well, they know that Tyler is close to so-and-so, or they know that Cody is close to Enzo. So that wouldn't really make sense. And so I don't know. I hope something comes of it, but I feel like we're too many days away from when that happened for anything to come to fruition.
Yeah, I feel like I've been talking about this too since the feed started, that for All Stars, they're not great at changing the subject eloquently.
Danny Briones, oh my goodness, she is the main offender there. As she is just, anytime somebody walks in the room, she has to tell them, oh, we were just talking about the dog that I saw a couple weeks ago. Oh, we were just talking about the Coca-Cola that's in the fridge. It's been sitting there for a couple of days. It's like, nobody asked. Literally nobody asked. It's fine. You can relax.
Yeah, it's that thing where it's just like, hey, Dallas, you just walked into the room. This is what we were talking about when we think the comp is starting. When do you think the comp is starting, Dallas?
I don't know. Beats me. Who's in the DR? That's really the conversations that they're having. And it's so bizarre. And I think one of the reasons Dani gets away with it so easily is because she's talking game with almost everyone in the house. And so I really feel like a lot of people feel comfortable with her. So if they walk in and she's talking to other people, it's like, well, she's not scheming against me. So for now, that's how it is.
Dallas, did you have a go-to line that you used when people would walk into your sequester room or, I guess, click into your room?
I would literally just say the thing like everyone else says and be like, have you heard a name? No one's dropping a name.
I feel really good about this room right now. Yeah. The people in this room are really
the
great
vibe
people.
That's going through this room is through the roof. If we could just keep
write
each other
all your
safe.
Names down.
Us four to the right now. The we got this.
I feel so good about this.
I feel like we're not even getting that with All Stars. They're not even giving us that.
Yeah.
So the week goes on and we're going to see that there was a little bit of a last minute push to try and keep Keisha, but it wasn't really real. It was a lot of Devon kind of for some reason tricking Janelle and Christmas into thinking that there might be votes for Keisha to stay when there really weren't. And that got them, you know, talking to people, and Janelle to this day is still like, oh, we should have kept Keisha. We had the numbers to keep Keisha and we didn't do it. I just really wish we had Keisha in this house. Nicole Anthony, best friend of Kevin.
Right. Yeah, and it still feels like that, I don't think they ever could have successfully gotten Keisha to stay because obviously things were getting a little messy towards the end of the, nobody was ever on board with that, but it seems like at least I saw Bailey today that seemed like she might have actually considered it if maybe they had another day or two.
Right. And hey, even Keisha said that if she had another week, she could have left it in the house.
If only.
I mean, that's all you nearly need is, you know, if you were evicted in a week, you just needed another week and then you might not have been evicted in that week. Right.
Yeah.
Somebody needs to give Keisha's Twitter handler a couple of extra weeks as well. So Keisha is evicted unanimously and Memphis wins the next HOH. Dallas, did you think this was going to be a boring week too? Because I did think like this was going to be pretty smooth sailing.
I went into this HOH not expecting, like I wasn't even thinking about Memphis winning. And then I wasn't at all expecting him to have the HOH-itis that he does. This guy might as well be sponsored by Airheads. Those old commercials, his head this big, and he's kind of being super rude to everyone too. It's like 0 to 100, the classic case, but I didn't expect to see it so soon in an all-star season.
Yeah.
I'm just super, super for it.
Yeah.
It's here's the thing too, like Memphis, he was acting like this before. He just didn't have any real power. Like he was just like, all right guys, so what we're gonna do is,
right, he was pulling everybody,
it's a six person alliance and I'm gonna choose the people, I'm gonna talk to everyone.
What, to be so blatant? You expect him to be this blatant about it?
Yeah. And what went into, I mean, we're seeing the results of that this week, but what went into that decision-making process that this is the alliance? Oh, I don't need to get to know them beforehand. I don't need to make sure that these people actually can work together on a game level. I just, I have these people in my head, you know, they look like me. So I'm going to form this alliance and get these people together. And it's just like crashing and burning because it came out of thin air, not naturally, not, okay, we get along, so I think we probably will work together. It just, out of thin air, this alliance formed. And it was just like, what are you thinking? I was sitting there before the HOH on Thursday. And I was like, the one person I don't want to win is Memphis. Everyone else, hey, it could be an interesting week, but not Memphis.
Yeah. And signs were being like picked up, I guess, on people like Taylor, who whether it was Thursday or the day before, I don't quite remember, but he was talking to Cody about group.
Sorry, your audio
is crazy right now.
Is jumping around a little bit. Maybe maybe try disconnecting and reconnecting or something.
All right. Sorry.
sorry. To me, this plan of Memphis is like, we've heard that Memphis was an alternate and that he was called like shortly before sequester. To me, like, the strongest evidence that he did not have a lot of time to like talk to Dan beforehand is that there's no way Memphis pitches this idea to Dan and Dan doesn't say, what are you talking about? There's no way. Right?
Exactly. Like, there's no, I don't even think he had a week to prep. Like, maybe there was one conversation, and from that conversation he got out, get out Ian. And that's the only thing he's rolling with. I don't see any other game plan. I don't see, I've seen a lot of stuff on Twitter, just other people's opinion about the fact that Memphis is so self-interested. And like, that's the type of game he knows how to play. He does not know how to play in an alliance. And that's so evident.
What I have a problem with, like, I don't necessarily dislike how he's playing 100%. It's just like, I don't know if he's going to go about it and try and force everybody to play in the safety suite, or like not tell everybody what he's doing. Like, that is a plan. That is a way to play this game. But he doesn't have to tell everyone. He's like mansplaining his game of Big Brother to the other people playing Big Brother. Like, you don't have to do that. Just do it.
Yeah, the way Memphis is playing is like how Dan would be convincing Memphis to play if Dan was still planning on taking Memphis to the final two.
So sad.
So he's HOH, and basically what he is doing, what we're talking about, aside from his crazy alliance structure, is that he wins the HOH and he talks to some people one on one, but he's like, he's locked the door. Like, they have to knock to come in.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a Sam BB20 HOH. Mm.
Yeah. They have to knock to come in. Cody is like, are you locking the door already?
They have to knock to come in. There's people ringing the doorbells and he's not even given a courtesy. Like, can you give us a few minutes? Where he's just sitting in there and doing nothing about it. This is what I mean by, like, the lines are drawn for him. He's just being blatantly rude to like some of these people. He's cut them off and he's not even interacting. Mm-hmm. It's so bizarre. It's week two. This is week two, dude.
And only day three of his HOH.
It didn't take long. It took him 2 seconds to go down there with the freaking robe on, too. Yeah. It's like, has he never watched? I can't believe it.
And people are walking in and he's just, they're like, so I just wanted to, you know, check in. He's like, yeah. I mean, I guess so. I mean, look, I'm not sure yet. So.
Yeah, there'll be wasted material. So let me know if I'm out again. But I am.
Yeah,
it's very strange. It is. I've like never seen it.
Repeating.
It's like a hiccup.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
I'm sorry. It's like, I don't know why. That's what we just heard.
I've never seen this before. Right. I have no idea.
Hello?
No, it's still doing it.
Okay.
Man, I guess I would try a restart of the computer. Maybe try different headphones. I don't know.
I switch to my AirPods. I don't know if that's...
Oh, there you go.
Oh, perfect.
Okay. Well, goodbye to this thing. I have no idea what that was about. Hope it was as funny for everybody else as it was for Taryn.
Right.
What were we talking about? Memphis? Yeah. I'm okay now.
I was just being Memphis, laughing at your problems with no regard for your feelings.
Oh, my God.
Okay. All I was going to say is that this could be easily turned into a good segment on the show if they decide to, taking what they had with Memphis a couple days ago of here's him making alliances to here's him like shutting the door on a million people and not having any interest in talking to them. So they could do something with this if they want to.
Yeah. In the meantime, Nicole is going to give her pitch, the idea. She walked in on those people, Cody Franzel, Danny Tyler. She thinks that they're working together. She's finally going to tell somebody that's listening, and that's Janelle. And Janelle's going to grab Kacer And now they finally have something concrete that they can hold on to. Like, oh, this is it. Danny is a rat. That Stania can't be trusted. She's with them. This is the power structure. We need to tell Memphis about this because he needs to do something about it. They don't get to Memphis in time, and we'll talk about that. But now they know, and it's in particular, Janelle and Kacer are fully on board the train of we need to get rid of these people. We need to dismantle their power structure because if we wait too long, it'll be too late to do anything about it.
Yeah, if only Janelle and Kacer realized that Memphis isn't their sole ally and is playing the game with other people. I mean, what a crazy thought that would be, right?
Right. Imagine other people in the house. I don't know where they get that idea because they hardly ever talked game with Memphis last week. It's like early morning conversations with Kacer, but that's it. Like, I don't know where they got this bright idea that Memphis would be on the outside of that. I think they just think of him as a fellow, like, OG, and so maybe he wasn't pulled in like they weren't, but they need to get with it because this could have been such valuable information. But the fact that they included him is just a wash.
Yeah.
All week last week, they were going to Memphis like, we need to save Keisha. And he was like, I don't know. And they're like, and this week they're like, he's totally with us. He's definitely on your
team. This game feels like a fever dream, right? Because
from the start, yeah.
It's been so long without an all-star season. I feel like every fan has done the sandbox. Like, we've taken, oh, who would we want? How would it play out? And like, you grab these people. I almost want to hit reset. I hate to say it, but like, it's reset playing out. Where's yeah. Give Frank? Us the reset button, dude. It's playing out in such a bizarre way.
Bring in the coaches.
Do something, dude.
I don't know. I feel like it's what you could imagine, though, because they're every single one is paranoid. Yeah. I mean, you had Keisha last week. She wasn't really all there game wise. But when you have this many people paranoid, there are going to be crazy assumptions that are made or crazy like conclusions that they come to that they're going to roll with. They're going to make the right conclusion and then not roll with that because then they're second guessing their other decision.
And it's so interesting, too, because they're not just paranoid about each other in the house. They're paranoid how they're portrayed. They're paranoid how they're perceived, because those are separate now, because you've got the Twitterverse and how they react to certain things that happen in the house. And then you have the actual show, how you're shown in the house. So there's so many factors that play into it. And because they are all stars and they have been through it, I think that gives them like that anxiety to not trust their gut. And I think that's probably why most of the decisions that should be being made are like being talked about and then nothing's getting done about it.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest commonalities that they share that they've talked about is they all agree that just like, oh man, so brutal on Twitter, like everywhere. Like Ian talks about like every single one of them, regardless of how well liked they are, is just like, oh my God, yeah, it's just so brutal. It sucks.
Except Devon. I think she's the only one that's like specifically talking to Twitter,
right?
And, making sure the fans know exactly what she's thinking, and the fact that she's like, "I'm trying, guys." I know
Devon's like, "I swear, I'm doing everything you want. Please don't turn on me."
I know what you want. I'm doing my best here, but you know, not much she can do. The obvious problem here that's kind of creating not allowing the fan favorites to work together is really just this Danny and Janelle lack of trust. I mean, both of them seem to be feeling good about Janelle, not about Devon, but obviously we've seen a lot from today with specifically Danny and Janelle that they can't get on the same page, whether or not that's because of one specific person being Danny, maybe, might be it, but that's really, I guess, preventing them from being able to do that, to pull it all together.
Yeah, they did show that interview, or there was that interview that Danny did before she went into the house where she said she wants to be seen as the best female player to ever play this game. She knows Janelle is seen as the best female player to play this game. Yeah. So no matter how much she likes Janelle in the house, it's always in the back of her mind that she needs to be the one to get Janelle out. So she's doing everything she can to pit the other side against Janelle, just because in the back of her mind, this is her ultimate goal, whether she wins or not.
Somewhere deep in the middle of nowhere, Maggie just raised her head and said, excuse me.
Right. So exactly. That's pretty much what I was going to say. I've listened to a lot of podcasts with Taryn, with Rob, with Brent, with anybody, Melissa, I have not once in my life heard the phrase or the sentence, Janelle Pierzina is the best Big Brother female player of all time. I don't think I've ever heard that.
Well, we are going to talk about the Legacy Watch, and she was at the top of the Legacy Watch.
Yeah, no doubt about that, but that player, I don't know if I've heard that before.
Right. Even though people don't say that, and even though that's not a statement, Danielle is thinking that Janelle is in competition for one of the top female players.
It's not just Danielle either. It's Nicole. Like, it goes down the line. There's so much animosity there. And I think that that's probably one of the main contenders, just knowing that you're in there with big names. And in order to, you know, either raise your stock or maintain the stock that you had going in, you got to go against them.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. Well, this is exactly the right podcast to talk about it, because we will see what this has done for Danny with the Venmus.
This is not the podcast they should be playing their game based around. They should be playing their game based around the Tuesday podcast, but they're not. So this is a problem.
Well, it's a good thing we added this one then.
I mean, I guess, but do they know about this? Like, did they hear about this while they were in sequester?
I did reach out to them, and I formed a secret, massive pregame alliance based around the Legacy Watch prior to the season.
And then Nicole F told the producers that everyone was listening, so they didn't, you know.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So the safety competition happens. Memphis is not telling anybody anything so that he can get as many people to play in the safety competition as possible, including a couple of his own allies from this usual suspects, whatever they want to call it, group that he created, as he wants at least two of them to play. Cody and Christmas do end up playing, and Christmas ends up winning the competition and then goes ahead and saves Ian from nomination. Christmas sort of sees the house as this Memphis group versus Janelle, Bailey, Devon, Kaser, Nicole, like those people. And then people like Ian and Kevin are in the middle. And this is not a great read, but it's not as terrible as most. but she sees this opportunity to kind of win favor with somebody in the middle. And of course, it was Nicole Franzel that really encouraged this view of the house and this view of Ian in Christmas that ultimately got her to make that call. So Ian is now safe, Dallas.
It's so funny. Listen, I wouldn't have casted Christmas either for All Stars. I know so many people were upset about that at first. I think other than she talks a lot about herself, if she didn't do that so much, like, she's in a great spot. But the thing about her is, and she's fallen back into her old ways with this, she's a champion for the cause. And if you can convince her that it's like, this is good for the group, this is good for us, then she's going to do what you ask. And honestly, I do think that this is something you can tip your hat to Nicole F for. Like her or not, it's kind of insane that Christmas chose Ian. The feeds come back and we're like, what the hell happened? How did this play out?
Yeah.
I literally was on an emotional roller coaster in only a couple of minutes because I see that Christmas wins the safety suite. I'm like, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. Then I'm like, and she saves Ian. I was like, oh, okay. Perfect. Christmas. Thank you.
Ian still doesn't have his costume, by the way. It's very annoying to me.
I was so confused because then why did feeds go down for like an hour?
I don't know. The feeds went down. Yeah,
they're trying to find the dog costume from 14.
Right? They're like digging through the.
They really are.
It's been 24 hours since that competition. Over 24 hours. Janelle had her star on.
Janelle's
the night up.
Pissed.
Yeah.
Nicole Abbs pissed now.
But then again, Janelle took her star costume off like the morning after to like barely put it on for the rest of the
week. Nicole had to carry her weenie 24/7.
She could have put it down for 2 seconds.
Watch how mad Nicole gets when it's Ian that's not wearing it as much versus Janelle.
Exactly. But she's not going to say a word.
But Ian will have it on the entire time. Have we heard the term punishment costume before or something like that? Because I heard Danny say that in regards to Ian, what he was going to be wearing. Instead of punishment, she called it his punishment.
Oh.
I don't know if that's a phrase we've had.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
Yeah, I mean,
I heard it from Danny in regards to Ian. So I don't know if that's an Ian original or what, but obviously Ian enjoys these costumes.
Maybe she's getting ahead of the merch after the show.
Could be.
I don't like punishment. I don't
like it either.
It sounds gross to me for some reason. She's like, ugh.
I don't even know what you're thinking about.
It's just the sound. Don't go down a dangerous path here.
I'm thinking of like
the sound of it.
Some kind of food or something. I don't know. Like a bad type of yogurt. Punishment.
It just feels like you're mispronouncing a P as an F.
Well, either way, Ian's into it.
Okay. So Memphis now needs to choose some nominees. He has not told anyone really what he's planning on doing prior to the safety competition. He did tell Cody the most amount of information, which was that he's basically deciding between two different sets of nominations, either Nicole Anthony and David as like an easy option, or he can take a bigger shot and put up somebody like Bailey and Davon. So we're now looking at things probably haven't changed all that much because none of those people are safe from the safety competition. But he still refuses to really tell anybody where his head is at. He's only saying, yeah, I've got like four or five people that I could put up here. So, you know, I'm still not sure. I don't know.
Yeah, because it's such a hard decision. I mean, he's been talking about him and Cody have been game planning for days at this point, you know, about what's the next step. I don't think he had expected Memphis to I don't think Memphis himself expected to be the next HOH. I mean, who really does? But I don't think he was one.
He never won. This is his season.
He wasn't. Yeah, he wasn't gunning for it. He hadn't won before. So I don't think he expected the power to fall into his lap. So that's why when people were talking about, yeah, he's going to put up Ian and Bailey, like that was, I guess, what he had said the night before. He probably hadn't put a full like amount of thought into it because he didn't expect it to actually happen. So obviously when it all started to play out and he went with a different set of nominations, it was not what people had expected or what we heard.
Yeah. My theory on this is that I feel like Memphis is throwing out a lot of names. I'm willing to put up all of these people, but I don't think he was ever really willing to put up all of those people. I don't believe that he was actually going to put up Bailey.
I was going to ask, do we think he was actually going to do that? Because I don't.
Exactly.
I don't think he was going to.
Because he had a good relationship with Bailey, and he tried to bring her into this alliance, and then it was vetoed. And he has stopped talking to her as much, but Bailey, notably, is the only person he makes a separate deal with outside of his alliance prior to the nominations. He talks about targeting Ian, but then when it comes to talking about, even before Ian was safe, he was like, he wasn't talking about really doing anything with Ian. And he also mentioned Janelle multiple times. Like, oh, I could totally do Janelle. Yeah, I could absolutely backdoor Janelle. But now that it's like people are really starting to push for it, he's completely shutting it down. Like, it's not even close to an option, exactly. Which makes me really feel like he was throwing it out there to be like, oh, I'm totally willing to. But he never actually was willing to. I don't know.
Yeah, it's so hard to read him because usually in HOH, when there are alliances in the room, they're being honest. Like they're saying exactly what they're going to do. And more often than not, they're not just trying to fill them out or leave them out of the loop. And so I'm like, I don't even know what to believe, even if Danny's in the room or even if Christmas is in the room. I have no idea. And I had to go just by actions.
Mm-hmm. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back. And we're back. So let's get back to the show. So the nomination ceremony happens, and Memphis hasn't told anybody what he plans on doing, 100%. And so he decides to nominate David and Nicole Anthony, and apparently pretty mean about it. He said something along the lines of, like, David, welcome to the grown-ups table. Like, you know, this you wanted to experience the full Big Brother. Here it is. And I think he was also like a little bit mean to Nicole Anthony, but I don't know exactly what he said to her.
Well, he was mean to them right off the bat. They came up to talk to him. Well, I think it was Ian and Nicole A, but I think he also scoffed David, too. They came up to see where his head was at, and he just didn't even, he gave him like less than a sentence. And that was that.
Yeah, and also when he was choosing his replacement as a have-not, he said something similar, like David, you got to earn your stripes. He called like rookie is a word that I think was thrown around, like very to challenge.
I will say this, David, the whole time they're going around and talking, you know, doing the powwow, talking about old seasons and stuff, David has been hamming up the fact that, oh, I don't know Big Brother. Dude, you're on an all-star season. Like, I wasn't a champion for getting David out, but also, like, own your keep. Like, if you're there, be there for a reason. Don't let everybody look at you and say you don't belong, because that is how you get put up. That's how you get put on slop, and they say the things they say. Welcome to the big kids table. You wanted to play Big Brother. Don't be shocked that now you're playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Memphis was obviously like way too harsh.
I agree with that too.
When Beats came back, every single person, his allies, people that weren't working with him, everybody at the same time was all on different feeds saying, wow, that was harsh. Wow, that was unnecessary. That was, you know, it's like the kind of thing where the first week that we were watching feeds, it was so calm and it seemingly like, you know, everybody was calm and chill, because nothing like that had happened yet. There was no event where, you know, usually you have the bad players who cause a little bit of a wave. We finally had somebody kind of throw out a comment or say whatever he was saying that caused everybody in the house to be like, damn, what the hell's this guy's problem? Yeah. Like, what did David do to him? And not a single person ever came up with one thing that David did to Memphis besides being in the house with him. Like, he hasn't done a single thing to cause Memphis any grief, but Memphis was a jerk to him twice within 24 hours, but, you know, putting him in as a have not. And then I think he also called him like a kid, or he called him boy or something like that.
Yeah. There's no need for that.
No, it was like, you know, you're not friends. You're not at that level where it's like, come on, kid, you're up. Like, it was taken exactly how Memphis seemed to have meant it. And nobody was appreciative of it, understandably.
Yeah. I do believe, as far as I'm aware, the kid portion of it was the like grown-ups table big thing. Kids table kind of thing. To your point, Dallas, I think David also recognized that he was like, I shouldn't have been playing this up so much. The morning after the have not thing. And he was like, I've put myself in the spot, where I played it up too much. And now people are like, you know, seeing me like this total rookie that doesn't belong here. And he kind of feels like, he was talking about like, it feels like it's too late to pull it back in. I don't necessarily agree with that, but, I don't know. What do you think, Asia?
I definitely don't think it's too late, because people can learn about other seasons while they're in the house. There's so many ways to work around it. He can say he knows something because, you know, he heard about it in another conversation. Like, I think there is a way to make it seem like he is coming into his own and starting to learn the game and pick up on conversations, because he's never watched a full season to know that, you know, not everybody respects that kind of game. Not everybody respects the fact that, oh, I'm weak, or and think, oh, I'm just going to take them to the end because they don't know anything. It's like, no, you have people like Memphis who take it to the other extreme and think that you don't deserve to be there because you don't know anything, because Memphis doesn't think you deserve to be an all-star. And so, yeah, Memphis's comments and the way he's behaving is so just out of line. And I think that, you know, David also wasn't prepared for someone to have that extreme.
Yeah, it reminds me actually of Big Brother Canada 7 when, you know, there are a decent chunk of fans in the house, at least the people in power were. And Damian was like somebody who would totally fit in with that crew. But they kind of were like, oh, he doesn't know the show.
Yeah.
So, yes, after the nominations, David was visibly upset, acting upset, at the very least. He had tears, and he was like, man, that was just so harsh. Like, the way he said it, like, it just felt, wrong. And people were like very sympathetic to David, and they were very upset with Memphis. And like I said, David had tears. But then occasionally he'd look at the cameras and be like, hey, Aika, like, I'm making you proud.
You know what? That's the kind of thing where I feel like anytime that people do that fake crying thing, it's got to always be rooted in some kind of like that feeling was a little bit there.
You're
tapping into something. And I know that he cried for Aika in that interview last year, and he obviously got like a whole tear out and she was super impressed. But the level of, you know, emotion that he was pulling out yesterday, like, he was definitely feeling that as well, even if he was just using that to kind of propel a narrative of him being more upset to get people on his side. I really need to see the DRs to know what he was thinking.
Me too. I cannot wait to see those DRs, because even though he was crying and we think he was putting on an act, he was actually angry. Like, that feeling of anger was real.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know, you reminded me of a conversation he had with Cody. Cody was talking about acting, because Cody had a brief stint as an actor and studied it a little bit. And they were talking about like method acting versus non-method acting. And David was talking about Breaking Bad and how like in Breaking Bad, like, you know, Walter White, like the actor that plays Walter White was like, you know, tapping into like how he felt about his daughter in this one scene. Like, is that method acting? And I'm like, now I'm thinking like, oh, is that what David's doing when is he tapping into something to get those tears? Is that why he's so interested?
They had a lot of time to watch shows in Sequester, didn't they?
Yeah.
So David is playing this up for sympathy. We don't know exactly how upset he really was. I wouldn't be surprised if he was, because who doesn't get upset when somebody is mean to you? So Memphis is now like, what is this guy doing? His entire alliance is like, what is this guy doing? But it did have, I think, a slightly unintended effect of making the entire house feel like Memphis's target is David, when in reality, Nicole Anthony is the person that will go home if the nominations stay the same. And it has also further obscured the lines of where Memphis stands with the rest of the house, because now you have Janelle and Kacer upstairs laughing with Memphis and supporting him after the nomination ceremony, and everyone else downstairs comforting David. And it really makes it look like Janelle and Kacer are up there in power with Memphis on his side. And it's really going to complicate things for the poor minds of Nicole Anthony and Kevin and them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a group, those three, as much as Janelle wants them to be, I'm sure, because she's trying to pull Memphis in. And she has thought ever since last week that Memphis is somebody that was up for the taking and potentially could be on her side. Memphis runs back to his crew with pretty much everything that the two of them tell him, you know, whether it's like something simple or not. I mean, well, last night she was going all in about the whole Nicole Franzel thing, Janelle was, and that's already made its way all around the house back to Danny, which has made its way to Nicole Franzel today. So
yes.
That wasn't really, you know, that three is not actually a thing as much as, I mean, Memphis is keeping them off the block this week. And I don't think even if there was a replacement needed, that it would be one of them. I think you'd probably go with Kevin. I think that's what most people are assuming at this time. So he's keeping the two of them off the block and safe-ish, but it still feels like he has absolutely no intentions of genuinely working with them.
Yes. And the Nicole Franzel thing is that when, after the nomination ceremony, Kacer and Janelle went upstairs to talk to Memphis. And this is when they told him about their theory about Cody, Tyler, Franzel, Danny are working together. And of course, those are four of the six of Memphis's alliance members. So he's just sitting there like, oh, you caught on to my alliance, but not me. And this is very bad news for Kacer and Janelle. And so they're pitching to him like, you got to get rid of these people. We should backdoor Nicole Franzel. She's the head of the snake. She's got Ian. She's, you know, so they have Ian there. Enzo is in with them. Like, this is a big group of people and they're very powerful. And if we don't do something about it, things are going to go bad. And so Memphis is going to take that information and tell Cody they're onto us. But listen to this. They think Nicole F is the brains of the operation. And Cody's like, dude, I don't care if they think Nicole F is the brains of the operation. They just said four of our names. They're going to put us up. We need to backdoor Janelle or Kacer. And Memphis is like, I mean, I don't know if we need to do that. I mean, would we really need to do that? Why would we need to do that? So we just, this is what we need to do. Just, you know, convince them you're not together.
And look at every single one of his allies all day today. Not a single one of them are feeling good about him. Even Cody is venting some frustrations here and there. So obviously, you know, his not willing to be like transparent with his alliance from the second that his HOH reign started by not telling Danny, especially, it was one that took this hard. I mean, Christmas couldn't care less. Nicole seems to just be happy she's safe, but like not telling them what you're thinking. And then also not, you know, like there's no, he's not giving an obvious reason as to why he's not putting Janelle and Kacer up, but he's still telling them the information that Janelle and Kacer are onto you guys. So he's not really putting the pieces together that you're worrying people and then not giving them a reason as to why you, the one with the power, the one person in the house that can do something about this, is not doing anything about this. So I don't know where he's going to end up next week with all of these people that are, like, you know, still working with him, but they're not getting anything from him this week. It's such a strange HOH.
Yeah, and based on the potential nominees in case the veto's used, this could be Faute 2.0. The alliance, it's going to fall apart.
I mean, right. This isn't even, this is Fau and Tay working against each other and also within those two groups not trusting each other.
Yeah, it's insane. Like,
unreal.
Well, for one, I don't know when the last time an HOH made the noms in their alliance. There's their solid alliance that's named, had no idea who was going on the block, but they're, Memphis does not realize he's adding fuel to that fire of his alliance, thinking that he has a trio going with Janelle and Kaser. He is just completely oblivious to that because he's on his high horse right now. He's king of the world. He wants everyone to know it because he wants to be all hypocritical in every conversation he has, even with his alliance. And so it's only putting him in a worse position coming out of this HOH. I'd say Cody came out of his HOH and pretty good. I guess people had good opinions about him when he came out of his HOH. And I feel like who's going to be on Memphis' side after this HOH?
He's got to be banking on winning the safety suite next week, because I can't see any other reason that he would be talking and acting like he is this entire week.
Yeah. I think he feels like he's good with his people.
I mean, if his allies, if his six, if anybody in that group wins HOH next week, I don't think they take a shot at him, even though they're frustrated with him. I don't think those five people do. But if whoever stays from the block this week, David or Nicole, whoever it is, if anybody else in the house, Bailey, Davon, win in HOH next week, as some of them are considering that they want to do, that five is not going to be upset if they see Memphis go on the block and out. Like, they can easily replace him. Cody, I don't know, because the two of them obviously have that bond that they were talking so much last week. But everybody else, Danny and Tyler especially, are not going to have any issue cutting Memphis and finding somebody else to be the new six.
Right. Well, Arya Crispin last night was writing down exactly his list of vengeance, and Tyler is definitely coming for Memphis's head when the time is right, he says. So Tyler, at the very least, is holding a vendetta here, and he tweeted out as well, because they're allowed to tweet in the diary room sometimes, that Memphis was the last person he wanted to be in alliance with in the first place. He's happy he's in alliance with him now because he's in power, but I don't think that Tyler liked Memphis from jump, and now he really doesn't like Memphis because he really does like David, and he really doesn't like how Memphis treated David.
Right. Tyler said, you know, keep your friends close, but keep your enemies closer. He was livid about how Memphis handled the situation with David and how he nominated him. And I really liked Tyler last night on the feeds, just how he was taking up for David. And I feel like we didn't really see this side of Tyler of just having to fake the funk because he liked level six and he liked the people that were in the alliance. And so you're like, okay, well, he's going to be good to who he's loyal to. But I like this in Tyler, and I think it's showing a different side of his game. So I'm looking forward to seeing like how he handles that if he ever does take the shot.
Mm-hmm. So on top of all of this, The Nicole and Janelle and Kaser have been trying to protect Nicole. They would like to keep her if the nominations remain the same. They're, as we talked about, trying to get a different backdoor. So while Cody and company are working to get Janelle or Kaser backdoored, Janelle and Kaser are trying to get Nicole Franzel backdoored. And it's all in hopes of potentially saving Nicole Anthony. And in the meantime, Kevin is getting in Cole Anthony's head about how evil Janelle and Kaser are.
She's a predator. Janelle is a predator. And I am not a snack. Ridiculous.
Because they're up there laughing with Memphis. They're clearly working with him. Yeah. She just went up there with a glass of wine, a bottle of wine, and they're up there for 2 hours laughing and gallivanting. So clearly they set you up, Nicole. And it's getting to her. She's like, oh my God, it's happening again.
She's buying into it. And she's the one that it really feels like Janelle and Kaser put the most stock into as well in their game. So it's like,
they did.
Oh, yes. God. Just misfire after misfire.
It's the most frustrating relationship to watch, the two of them, or at least Nicole is becoming the most frustrating person to watch, just because she doesn't have many people in the house. And the one person that is like that she's in love with, she loves when Janelle hangs out with her and spends time with her. And then the second that Janelle leaves the room, whether it's Nicole saying something herself or Kevin filling her head with something, it's just so much anti-Janelle energy that's coming out of these two. And it's like, where else do you want to go? Like, you want to go running into the six-person alliance that's going to close the door on you? Or you want to go try working with other people in the house? What's Janelle's just evil. It's just they can't even look at her for 2 seconds without feeling disgusted.
Yeah,
go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, it's beyond frustrating because like someone needs to give Kevin some glasses because he has such a bad read of the situation. And it just I like want to pull my hair out thinking about the fact that Janelle is being genuine. She does want Nicole F out. She does want to save Nicole Anthony. Like she really does. She and the does. Fact that she's being honest and Kevin's like, no, like Dallas said, Janelle is a predator. And Nicole Anthony is eating that up. Girl, yes. Do you not think about all the conversations you've had with Janelle? Like makes no Janelle's sense. Whispering to you.
She got burned very hard in her season. And I think she just is still healing. And she's really terrified that it's happening again. And then hearing those laugh and having that validation, even if it's like false from Kevin also feeling that way. I mean, I understand it's hard to watch. It's really hard to watch.
Yeah. So let me give you an example of something that happened today. So Bailey actually gave Kacer and Janelle the heads up. Kevin's running around saying you guys are working with Memphis and that you're dangerous. And so now Kacer and Janelle know, I mean, they already didn't like Kevin, but now they know that they have to watch out for Kevin. And so Janelle went to Nicole Anthony and was like, hey, Kevin ever talk about me? Nicole's like, no, well, yeah, no.
Not that I can remember.
You ever talk about me in like a bad way? I'm like, no. You sure? I'm like, no, I haven't heard it. And so Nicole repeats this conversation. She goes and tells Kevin about it. And she's like, Janelle came up. She's like, is Kevin talking about me? Is Kevin talking about me? Like, this is the voice that she's putting on to voice Janelle. Like, are you sure? And I was like, no, I don't know. And she's like, oh, okay. And so she's talking about how she heard that Janelle and Kacer are saying that they're trying to get Nicole Franzel on the block, but don't tell anybody. And Kevin is trying to like fit this in his mind of like, how does that make sense if they're working with Memphis and they put Nicole on the block? Maybe they're testing you to see if the information will get out. It's a fake plan. They're planting a plan. Is this the last minute lie, but like less last minute? Like what's going on here?
I remember when I thought Kevin Campbell was coming back to Big Brother All-Stars. I don't know who this guy is. It's not Kevin Campbell from Big Brother 11. It's certainly not. I would love to see him show up and play the game at some point. But this guy that is playing with Nicole right now, the two of them just together, actively frustrating because these are two fan favorites. I mean, I was really excited to see both of them back and get another shot. But the two of them, the way they feed off of each other with this, it's genuinely frustrating to whether you're watching it or reading the update. It's like, come on, you two.
Yes. Just when they have conversations, I'm like, someone with some sense, please walk into that room right now. Because I swear, I just have to change the feed when they're having conversations because it's so frustrating that they're not thinking logically one bit. Like, let me take a step back. Does this make sense? Like, is Janelle after me when she's actually brought me information and we're aligned with wanting Nicole F out? Like, she spent so much time with me. No, that doesn't make sense. It's so frustrating.
It makes a little more sense from Kevin, from Nicole A. It's just hard. I can't watch it.
It's really the Janelle factor, because obviously look at everybody else that's in the other side, on the other side of the house. They're all pretty well connected, and they all, you know, even if not all of them are 100% trusting of each other, like they know that they're good and they have people to vent about to each other, but that other side of the house is not connected. Right. And the fact that Janelle is a big player on that other side, not a single person trusts her enough besides Bailey enough to be like, I can actually believe a single thing she's telling me. So they're having an impossible time connecting from anybody not in the six to create anything. Because like that's the most frustrating part about it. It's not just the fact that Kevin has bad reads on Janelle. It's like, you don't have anything good with anyone else. So just because you're you know, like you're friends with Davon and Bailey and maybe David here and there, whatever, but you don't have anything solidified with anybody else. And you're just shutting the door to Janelle without even having concrete, like whatever, that you know that she's actually doing something. It's just all your gut feelings and this and that. It's just going to bite you in the butt.
Mm. So really, the final story of the week so far is that Cody's structure, alliance structure, power structure is wavering, they do not have complete control over what's going on because Memphis is such a wild card, and they're kind of freaking out a little bit because Janelle and Kacer have clocked four of them, and that puts them at risk. And so they're kind of running around. Cody is a little bit worried because he sees Bailey and Davon talking with Janelle a lot, and he should be a little bit worried because Bailey is talking with Janelle a lot and telling her a lot of things. Davon did talk to Bailey last night about how she's like, do you think Cody's trying to play the Derek game? Like, there's something shady going on with Cody. So that's bad for him. And then on the other side of things, you have Danny going to Janelle as well. And Danny has now proposed that they work together, her and Janelle, pull in Nicole Franzel, pull in Kacer, maybe pull in somebody like Cody. And I'm cool with Tyler. And she thinks that this is like, okay, great move. We're going to cover ourselves with Nicole, with Janelle and Kacer. They're not going to come after us next week. But from Janelle's point of view, she's like, what an idiot. She just confirmed her whole alliance to me, and she's running around telling everybody about it. So that could be interesting. And there's a lot of different directions that this week could go, especially because that whole group is trying to push Memphis so hard to get rid of Janelle and Kacer, and Memphis doesn't really want to do it. And so there's a lot of tinder lying around that could easily go aflame at any point this week.
Yeah. Danny and Memphis had that one conversation last night where Danny was really pushing for Janelle or Kacer, and Memphis just like, we're talking about week three. She's like, no, we could be talking about right now. We could win the veto and put one of them up. And Memphis is like, no, he's just laughing off every single thing she says. And it's just like, Memphis, how do you think this is building rapport? How do you not see that you sound so condescending, or in that Danny's just going to be like, oh, okay, you're right. We should think about future weeks, not now.
Yeah. So right now they are they haven't started the veto yet, but it will probably start soon. Ian, Tyler, and Nicole Franzel will be joining Nicole Anthony, David, and Memphis in the veto competition. Tyler really would love to win this and take David down. I think that if he has the option, he'll throw it to David so that he doesn't have to do it. But he definitely wants David off the block. He doesn't want to have to stick his neck out any more for him than he already has. And he will, is the thing. Like, it's not like he won't do it. He doesn't want to have to do it because David is off the block, would be his preference, I think. And he doesn't want to, risk David potentially leaving. He really wants David there. And he really wants to stick it to Memphis, and he really wants to backdoor either Janelle or Kacer, yeah, because they can't keep his name out of their mouth. So I imagine that is going in that direction. And of course, you have Nicole Anthony, who will use it on herself. Franzel, I believe, will choose not to use it if Memphis doesn't want her to, but she will push hard to try and get him to. If Ian won, I'm willing to bet that Franzel and all of Cody's company pushes hard to try to get him to use it against Memphis's wishes, and then they can be like, Ian just did that. Ian does what he wants. I guess now we have to backdoor Janelle or Kacer. But I don't really think Ian would do it.
I honestly don't know if he would be that against it, because isn't Ian in a named alliance with those two? Or maybe they didn't officially name it, but the three of them were pretty together last week.
You mean Nicole Anthony?
Yeah, actually, no, that was with Kevin, not with David.
Yeah.
I mean, still, there is a connection with Ian to Nicole that, you know, could potentially do something. But then again, Kevin going on the block wouldn't really change much. So I think if he wants David out, he might as well just keep it the same and not mess things up, especially on a week that things were so easy for him. But I really do think that Tyler specifically is somebody who I don't think it would be a bad thing for him to win here. I know he's trying to maintain a low profile, and like, if he can avoid winning, if he can let David win on his own, that'd be great. But if the only option is him winning versus a Memphis or Nicole or somebody else, I think he should win it. I think that there are a lot of people in the house that are feeling sympathy towards David right now because of how Memphis treated him. And a lot of people are against Memphis at the moment as well because of how he's been acting. So I don't think people would feel any type of way towards Tyler for deciding to take David off the block and letting him have another chance at playing the game, regardless of who Tyler is, like, you know, wanting to get back up there. I think he could just make it all about David.
I think the problem I see with that personally is that, like, A, it links him to David a lot. Using the veto on someone else, especially when the HOH didn't want you to do it, like, they might not even remember the details of Tyler and David's relationship, but, like, weeks from now, they will remember Tyler saved David from the block. Like, they must be close.
I also think they'll remember, because coming out of the nominations, you got to remember how everybody felt, too. I don't think the House is really going to look at it in that weird of a way if someone uses it on David.
But here, the thing, like, I don't know if it's worth it for him to win, save David, make that connection in people's minds, and piss off Memphis only for Kevin to go up and Nicole Anthony to still go home.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And it wouldn't be the first time Tyler throws a veto either. So
yeah,
I don't think it should be his number one plan by any means. But, like, if it happens to be down to him in Memphis, maybe, you know, and he really wants to consider having somebody else go up on the block besides those two. I think at that point, maybe he goes for it. But yeah, I do agree that it's not, like, his best move to do so. But
it would be pretty on brand for this alliance if Tyler did win it and take David off, since Ian was one of the people Memphis said beforehand that he could see himself backdooring. And then you have Christmas, who was just so excited to save Ian. And then she was flabbergasted when she found when Memphis, like, didn't feel the same. It was just like, you know, what went into that decision about saving Ian?
All right. Let's talk about the alliances in the House. Nothing too dramatically different from last week or even from Tuesday. I've just named, like, all of Cody's people, just like Cody's crew, Cody's company, whatever you want to call it. Either way, you've got the alliteration. You've got the Root, which is Cody and Enzo. You've got the Core Four, which is Cody, Enzo, Danny, and Franzel. You've got Connect Four, which is Cody, Enzo, Bailey, and Devon. And then you have the usual suspects, which is Cody, Memphis, Franzel, Tyler, Danny, and Christmas. And so it's really that collection of, it's those six, Bailey, Devon, and Enzo, making a total of 9 people who are within this, like, overall structure of power, with Memphis being the furthest on the outs. Devon and Bailey probably being in the next section, maybe Christmas would be after at Memphis, then Bailey and Devon, then, like, Tyler. And then I do think that core four, Cody, Enzo, Danny, Franzel, is the most core.
I'd say the
aptly named.
And then you also have the commission,
right? The commission, which is Cody in Memphis, of course. That's that card in Cody's pocket that he hasn't. He's like, oh, I still have that there. So that's the real power structure of the House right now. But like I said, there's some amount of, like, worry, paranoia going on. Just today, Cody was talking to Enzo about, like, I'm seeing Danny talking to Janelle. I'm seeing Bay and Bay talking to Janelle, we're having these private conversations, but I keep walking in on them. And then they're not talking about it afterward. They're not telling us, they're not debriefing us, like, what was going on. And Enzo, who is, like, the ultimate hype man, like, keep the alliance together, bro. Is like, hey, don't worry about it. We got this covered. You can't worry. We're going to ride this thing to the end. Don't worry. We're going to use them. They're going to get them out later. Don't worry.
I mean, sure. Enzo, I love Enzo. I'm having so much fun watching him. Unrelated, but I don't know if we were going to talk about this. Do we still feel like Nicole would be the person likely to go home if nominations stay the same, right?
Yes. Seems very unlikely that David would go home at this point.
I right before we got on, I heard Enzo talking to Nicole about, like, don't worry, we would be in your corner, implying him and Cody would vote her way.
This is the same Enzo that Keisha was pissed at because he never gave her the heads up.
Yeah. I don't know. It was really brief and I didn't get to, like, actually pay attention, but I was like, is something going on there that, New York, New Jersey connection is keeping them tight?
So also the plan is that if they are able to follow through the back door, that they're going to pull Nicole Anthony in. So it does behoove them to act like they were on her side even before the veto is used, so that when the veto is used, if the veto is used, they can be like, yes, we did it. We saved you like we wanted always. Right. And you definitely weren't going to be voted out by us if you stayed on the block. Don't worry about that. So that's that power structure. Then you have the old school alliance, Janelle, Kacer, and technically Memphis, maybe. And at least in Kacer and Janelle's eyes, right? And then it really, if you want to go full Kacer and Janelle's eyes, include Nicole Anthony, include Bailey, include Devon, and all of a sudden you've got a real alliance here, Dallas.
If they can string it together and actually do something, then sure, but they can't get out of their own way.
Yeah. They're not doing great. Not doing great. You still have got Million Club, Franz and Ian. They're still working together pretty well. You've got Devon and Bailey still working very well together. There was a little brief moment of worry where Danny told Devon about the fact that, yes, Bailey was pre-gaming with Janelle. And that worried Devon, I think, genuinely, like, oh, my God, I've said so much about Janelle to Bailey. And then they later had a conversation where she was like, you were right. Like, they are working together. But then she had a conversation with Bailey and it seemed like they cleared it up a little bit. So I don't think there's anything too, you know, sketchy here, but that was like a moment of panic. They are also kind of working with David. They don't really tell him anything, but I think they're looking out for him as much as possible. And I think he's looking out for them as much as possible. And then you have, you know, Tyler and Christmas. Final two. If David and Chris, sorry, not David and Christmas, Tyler and David, final two. Could you imagine a David and Christmas final two?
I really could not.
And that's mostly the you know, where the alliances stand in the house right now. You know, you like Cody really is at the center of his whole structure, but Tyler does have a couple of sleeper agents in there. He's got Christmas. They're protecting David. And then through David, he is connected to Devon and Bailey. He also has his own connections to Devon and Bailey. Not as strong as Cody, but they are starting to look at Cody. So there is a lot of play in this whole thing. And I think a lot of different ways this can go, Asia.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, you know, even though we're seeing these and like the biggest alliance being at six, I think there's still room and there's still some trust being thrown around where there could be a bigger alliance, not bigger than six, but like a more solid alliance. If, let's say, Janelle and Kacer were to pick up, you know, Bailey and Devon, and then Danny maybe trust them. And I think there's still room for some movement to happen because there's so much overlap. So that's why I'm still really trying to see like where the cracks are, who truly trusts the other person. Because like with the Devon and Bailey situation, I was so glad Devon approached Bailey about that rather than just saying, okay, I'm going to take note of that and I'm going to take it back and I'm start telling her less and less. I was like, yes, Bailey.
Communication.
Devon, yes. Thank you. Yes.
Yes. All right. So let's talk about the Legacy Watch. Let's get into this. How have these players been faring? So if you're watching along on the video, then you can see up here, this is the current state of the Legacy Watch. And I actually did not change the title of the top one because I did in the survey, but that's fine. So this is the Legacy Watch. This is where it stands as of the preseason. And we're going to go through each player, talk about where they stand now, according to the audience, after seeing the, you know, the first week or so of the feeds in the show. And I also just want to talk in general about like, how are they doing this season in comparison to their previous season to this point? Like, are they playing better? Are they playing worse? So let's get into it. We'll start at the bottom.
What is Devon doing where she is?
Right. Well, dude, did you watch the last one?
I think so. What is she doing there? And why is David so high up?
Well, let's see if anything's changed.
So a little taken aback.
Last week at the very bottom, in the bottom tier, was Christmas. This week, Christmas is no longer in the bottom tier. She has gone up into the low tier. So there is Christmas. Christmas now in the low tier, actually even above David.
Wow.
So she has moved up a decent amount, like nothing major, but definitely enough to jump into a higher tier. People are not as down on Christmas as they used to be, although she still is in the low tier. She is not in the bottom tier. I have to say, I expected this. We remembered Christmas at her worst, at giving away the win in the final three, Paul's minion, you know, all of that. We're now seeing Christmas at her peak, early in the game. She is physically fit. She is winning competitions. She's saving Ian's. She's doing all the things that, you know, anybody could ask of her, considering what she has to give. How do you feel about this, Dallas?
I mean, naturally, yeah, I wouldn't put her in bottom tier, especially after winning such an early competition in the, you know, in the season. I'm not particularly low on Christmas. Like I said, would I have casted her immediately for an all-star? No, but I think she has nowhere to go but up. So I think naturally, yeah, that makes sense. And I think that'll continue to happen.
Do we think that she's playing better or worse than her previous season? She, you know, obviously she played an entire season last season, but I think handicap, personally,
though,
yeah, personally, I feel like she's playing around the same. I don't think I've seen a major change from her.
I definitely agree. Like middle of the low tier is spot on for Christmas because she still has that team mentality. And you're seeing that in these conversations where she's thinking the six, that's her team. And that's who she's playing in the interest for. And so that's why Memphis's behavior is so bizarre to her, because she's like, you know, we should all be making this decision. We're the ones. It's basically like we're HOH this week because he's in power. And she has that. She had that same team mentality in her season. And so I think that, you know, if we were seeing her navigate a little bit better, maybe building on these social relationships that she's been able to build and turning into like gameplay, then maybe she could work her way up. But yeah, she's playing the same.
Yeah, she's playing pretty similar. I would agree. She's obviously just playing with better players. So that's kind of making her, I think, by association, seem a little bit better. I have a weird comparison to make, which sorry if there's not Survivor fans in the chat or whatever, but kind of getting like Danny DiLorenzo vibes from her, where it's like kind of along the lines of like, why is this person here? She's linked up with some of the power female players on her side, but kind of like not really, you know, somebody who's going to probably make a legacy in this game. And I feel like she's going to stay exactly where she is throughout the season.
So
maybe bounce up a tier or so.
You're saying at some point Memphis is going to raise a fit and say, no, she has to go. Christmas has to go.
Who's the Memphis in this?
Russell.
Okay.
Raise a fit. Danny had to go.
When I think of Danny, I think of the popcorn scene at the reward and, and sorry.
All right. So after Christmas, we had David, and this week, David has dropped from the low tier into the bottom tier. People not pleased with what they're seeing from him. Now, I will say, I think that being in an all-star season is not helping his legacy. I think that David in a new player season acting the way he is, he would not be in bottom tier, especially after the crying and it's fake crying. Like, even if he was playing dumb until that point, he was boring until that point. I think that alone in a new player season gets him at least low tier. But when he's in a cast of all stars and we're really like hoping for like people with some real fire under them, you know, I can see why now that we're seeing David, they've put him into this bottom tier, Asia.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I was like, he better go down because that's where I see him as well. He is not doing himself any favors by not being proactive. He's very reactive in terms of talking game. Like, I have not seen David actively go up to someone and try to initiate a conversation to align with them or to see what they can do. And that's because of this disguise that he is just completely oblivious to this game. He doesn't know how Vita works. You know, he got out the first time, so he doesn't know anything. So therefore he's not even able to turn his game on and do what we think he should do, which is form these relationships and not just walk around and be social. And so like, he's not doing that. He's not, because he can't act like he knows a game, he's doing nothing, which means he's playing no game. So bottom tier for sure. But I hope something changes if he does end up staying. But I just can't see him having the wherewithal to know like what he needs to change.
Yes. And in comparison to last time, I think David is playing the game. Yes.
That he is.
Very true.
So above David last week was Bailey in the low tier. This week, Bailey has had a big jump up into the middle tier, up near the top of the middle tier, in fact. Big jump for Bailey. This makes a lot of sense to me. I think that she was low to begin with, personally, although, again, this is legacy. It's whatever you want to make it. But I think she, at the very least, she left her mark on BB20. I think she's really making a mark here in Big Brother 22. I like what I'm seeing from Bailey. Matt, how do you feel about this?
I think that we're trending in the right direction here. I think Bailey is remembered as somebody who stood out for sure in BB20. Going on to be in the challenge, she's definitely kept her name out there. People know who she is, even if not like, you know, even if not every Big Brother fan followed her over to watch her on the challenge. She's back here, and she's not just, you know, the character that we knew her at in season 20, where, you know, we remembered the big fight that she got in. We remember her with Swaggy. So she was part of a showmance and all that kind of stuff. Here, we're really seeing her kind of turn into a social player, where she is just in the middle of the house, has connections on both sides. I've been beyond impressed with Bailey since the start of the game. And I got a little bit nervous this week when we thought that she might be going up, but that's not the case. And she still continues to have connections with just about everybody in the house. She's doing really well. And I think if she continues to be as good of a player throughout the season as she is so far, I could easily see her kind of slipping into the towards the end of the upper tier. I mean, you know, if she goes on and wins, definitely in the upper tier, but I think this is definitely a good start.
Yeah. I feel like Bailey was, and I was saying this prior to the season starting, I feel like people forgot how good Bailey was until she was bad. But even that said, I think her game is still a step forward. I think that she has improved on what was already pretty good, and I really like what I'm seeing here in the season so far, Dallas.
Yeah, I was excited to see Bailey come back. She definitely seems confidence-wise through the roof, like a completely different player. And I think that just understanding Big Brother and how other people play the game has helped her navigate this one a lot better. You know, she's putting on a fake smile when she needs to. She's having conversations she needs to. And she's really insulated. She's cushioned. She's pretty much like we said, that, you know, she has good relationships with almost everyone in the house. So I'm pretty sold on Bailey. I think she's doing well. And I don't think she's a pre-jury. I think she's going to go pretty far.
I love BB22 Bailey. I think that, yeah, it's amazing. It's just that, you know, how everyone's writing off Kaser and Janelle. I think that their one key to where it's not all falling apart is Bailey. The fact that she's not giving up on that relationship with Janelle. She's continuing to be close to her. It doesn't matter what other people are saying or what Davon is telling her about, you know, hearing that, okay, Kaser and Janelle might be with Memphis. Like, Bailey is continuing to plant roots in that relationship, and it's going to pay dividends. I even think that, you know, I think Bailey has top tier potential, because even last night she was saying, like, you know, I miss home, but look, I'm ready to just play. I'm ready to win some HOHs and make decisions. We were so close. She was telling Day, we were so close to winning that one. Like, we could actually win and start making decisions, rather than last week they were saying, yo, we should stay where we are and not win any competitions. So I think if we start seeing Bailey make moves, that's really going to set her apart, and we're going to start to see her creep up more and more.
Yeah.
Sorry, as Asia's talking, her background has two people in specific, Angela and Swaggy, who are both not on this season. And I feel like that has a lot to do with why Bailey and Tyler are being so well received by a lot of fans. I think the two of them being able to play their own games, not being tied down to, you know, a significant other in the house, where, you know, when you're in a showman, so whether the casuals like you or not, like, you do tend to be a little more B-word boring. So when you're actually being able to, like, run free around the house, play the game, be social, and do some good things, like both of them are this season, I think it really works in their favor.
Yeah, I literally just opened Twitter, and I don't know if Rachel Swindler is watching this podcast, but she literally just tweeted out, Bailey was just as social on BB20. I had some of my deepest conversations with her. Maybe it wasn't shown as much, but she's really good at the social aspect of the game, which, like, spot on. Yeah.
Hi, Rachel.
Hey, girl.
Rachel's great. So that's Bailey. Above Bailey last week was Enzo, who was at the bottom of the middle tier. This week, Enzo has gone up and just barely lands into the upper tier. So Enzo has moved up a tier. I have to say that I mostly agree with this. I think so. I think middle tier was maybe a little bit low for Enzo to begin with. And I think that Enzo in the upper tier makes a lot of sense. I think that he's really good at just bonding alliances together. I think I keep saying the same thing about Enzo, which is that like he's great at just being a solid ally, alliance member, keeping things together, keeping things secret, keeping things running smoothly. The question will be, does he have enough respect in the end to win the game, to get to the end, and to win the jury vote? Dallas, how do you feel about it?
Listen, I like Enzo a lot. Liked him before, like him now. Enzo's just fun. You can tell that people get along with him well. I feel like every time I watch a conversation with him on the feeds and stuff, it's a lot of no one knows. Like, yeah. I would have kept him middle tier. Like, maybe for the core, like his groups, sure, he's great to have. But as an individual player, do I see Enzo, you know, maybe going far? I don't see him winning. I don't know how he could get there. I mean, he did win a veto, but
what about the legacy aspect of it, though? Like the sort of like, you know, it's your own criteria.
He's the same game. It's Enzo. He's playing as Enzo.
He's talking about being a crayon salesman. He's like he's entertaining the live feeders. Like, I think that goes a long way.
It truly does. But in terms of legacy, you know, I think that he still deserves middle tier until we see that he's able to capitalize on the alliances he does have, because we know Enzo is loyal. He continues. He's still known to be that loyal guy. Like, we're seeing that with Cody, but I just want to see a little bit more to see how he can expand outside the four, because even in the brigade, he was the one person who didn't have another person. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I want to see him be able to not just stick to the alliance, but be able to form like little allegiances here and there to benefit him and not just be the likable guy who's loyal to his one alliance.
Is anyone going to fall on the sword for Enzo? No,
no,
not yet. Was anyone in his season? I think we know the answer to that, too. So so far, it's been the same for me with Enzo.
He did win a comp, though.
He did win a comp.
I think that's an improvement.
Sure.
Definitely is.
Yeah. I mean, Enzo, I think I agree with both of you guys that I think he's in middle tier. But the problem is that, like, I think he would be right at the top of the middle tier, looking at this chart, which is kind of exactly where he is, just kind of
barely landed in that upper tier, very bottom of it.
So, yeah, he, you know, just kind of worked his way around to that next line at the very end. So it's kind of around the exact spot that I guess, but just like looking at everybody else he's on the line with, I'm like, yeah, I don't know if that line is going to stay like that, but I think he probably doesn't make sense for him to be there. But as far as his game goes as well, I agree with, I think, some of what Dallas was saying. I don't know that at this moment anybody's like falling on their sword for him. If this was like some kind of safety chain going around the Big Brother house, I think he always is going to land on there. I think he's always going to get saved by somebody else because he's in good with so many people, but there's going to be a lot more work this season to get all the way, I think, than he did last time.
All right. Next up was last week, Nicole Anthony, who was just shy of the upper tier last week and currently resides in the middle tier. Nicole Anthony this week has fallen to the low tier, just above Christmas. On the low tier, not surprising considering what she's been up to so far. And honestly, if I had said like, where is Nicole on this, you know, if she wasn't a legacy watch, but it was just like a general sort of like reputation watch in season 20 or season 21, she probably would have been pretty low at the start of that season too. It wasn't until later that she grew into this underdog status and really people started to love her. And so she is kind of back down here, but I think this is worse than she was before. I thought she was actually playing too well. She was playing pretty well before in season 21. And this season she is not doing great here, Matt.
Yeah, I think I'm fine with where she is now. I mean, I could kind of see it argued either way for middle tier, low tier. She's obviously been a little, it's been a little disappointing to see how things have played out for her with her. She hasn't really brought it in the gameplay level that is needed on a season like this. She doesn't have the connections that are needed, which isn't fully her fault. I mean, I'm sure she could have pre-gamed harder than she did. But at the end of the day, she's just not really up there with a lot of these other names in the house. So having her on the same tier as Christmas feels a little, considering how much of a fan favorite she was and all that stuff of last season. But I'm starting to, as you know, the season's going on and we're seeing how her game is unfolding, it's like maybe there really isn't a whole lot to be super impressed by. And if she ends up going out this week, I think she probably stays here. I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
And I think it has to be pointed out that like we are talking about this in the middle of Nicole Anthony, like just trashing Janelle on the feeds. And that is going to tarnish your legacy, Dallas.
Yeah. I mean, you can go ahead and just scroll through Twitter, even if you're not watching the feeds, and see how much Janelle's in everyone's heads rent free. She should not be in one of the only people that she's trying to work with's head just as much. That's not something that should be happening. And if it is, obviously there's mistakes being made. Yeah, I like Nicole A, but low tier is she, yeah. I think last time she played, she had a Cliff with her to bounce ideas off of in the positive light. And I think right now she's got a Kevin, and unfortunately it's fallen the other way. She's bouncing ideas and it's negative. And so instead of having that hope to keep going, it's like you guys are keeping each other down. And so, yeah, low tier, unfortunately, for now. I think that's pretty apt.
I think the only thing that can help her at this point is to actually trust Janelle and Kacer for just a moment, just this week. It's like, what else do you have? You don't, Kevin, who's on the block last week, who someone can easily throw up again, like, you might have a situation where David wins veto and then Memphis throws up Kevin. And now what are you aligned to the only other person that's on the block? Like, that's all you have. Like, literally you have nothing to lose than to actually trust Janelle and Kacer.
Yes. I'm thinking back to last season where I had a whole lot of frustration. We talked about this in the preseason podcast for Nicole. I had a whole lot of frustration towards Nicole and Cliff during a specific portion of the game. And, you know, kind of sensing a common theme here of this equation that's causing me frustration that seems to be 50-50 Nicole Anthony every time. So I really, really like her a lot as a person, as somebody on the show, but yeah, I'm sensing a theme.
Yeah, interesting, because I did just see somebody in the chat say Kevin is dragging her down for real, which is exactly what they said about Cliff.
Yeah.
But there is one common element here. all right. So next up was previously Dave Vaughn, who was just shy of the upper tier last week. And this week, she has, in fact, moved up into the upper tier above Enzo.
Wow. That's not high enough.
It was a small bump, but it was a bump. It's interesting because I actually, like, I've seen Davon on the feed so far, and I've kind of been disappointed a little bit. I've kind of been like, oh, her reads are not great. I don't love how much she trusts Cody, although last night is promising. And if anything, in my eyes, like, my image of Davon has gone, like, a little bit down. But my image of her was way higher than it started with this one. So, I don't know. How do you feel about this one, Asia?
I think I can agree that, you know, bottom of the upper tier is fair. But I don't know if I'm totally disappointed in her game. I think that it is good for her that she is not trying to, like, do the most, like, her words. And so I think that's good because at least she's in good socially with a lot of people. But I think where we might see, you know, her go down on this list or go up on this list when she starts to have to make these decisions where, let's say, she's one of the deciding votes, or, you know, she's making a plan to push someone to go home. I think right now she's riding the middle harder than we thought that she would, and that we've seen from her game in the past. So I think when she starts making some decisions, she'll start being in a better position and move up on this legacy watch. But right now she's not really having to.
Yeah. And I think, again, like my expectations were so high, and I think she's doing very well. Like, she is in the power structure. She's not really in a whole lot of danger anytime soon. She has a lot of people protecting her. So, I think she's probably playing the best she's ever played, this season. It's just that, I mean, personally, I was expecting even better. but it's not by that much, not by that much. And I'm very happy to see her at least in the upper tier here. I think that's very fair. I think that Bailey should be up there with her, but it's fine.
Yeah.
Zalas, how do you feel about it?
Again, Davon, I was really high on her coming in. I feel like she's maybe, I mean, I could be off base. I feel like she's playing pretty sloppy compared to how I expected her to. Her reads have been off. What was the situation? You can correct me on this because I might have it wrong. But like, the situation where she was telling Janelle that she was like, oh, Keisha's got the numbers. Like, what was that? I feel like she's lying. And for what? Like, in this game, you can't, you know, lie when you have to.
Yeah.
And I feel like she's kind of tripping over herself because she's doing, I think she is doing the most when she kind of doesn't need to.
That's true.
Yeah, I forgot because and like, of course, the internet was blowing up that whole night when Davon was just like unnecessarily going to Christmas, going to Janelle and telling them that like, oh, Keisha has the votes if we vote this way, or maybe she has the votes. It was definitely a lot. And I think that people were like, what are you doing?
Just because like she's in a good, she came in a good place and she is in a good place. So it just, yeah, it felt unnecessary. It's just going to hurt her. It's not going to help her any.
Yes. Yeah. And I apologize. I did forget to set up where this is coming from. I polled the audience on Twitter earlier today. The audience is voting for all of these placements, and they're voting for the legacy of these players, which is a criteria that is entirely up to you. Most people look a lot at gameplay, but, you know, reputation and history and just how people perceive you is all comes into play in this.
Yeah, if we're talking gameplay, we can, you know, that's, I feel like that's what Tuesday is. This is legacy. And I feel like Davon should have started in that top tier with those other four people. I think that Davon is not a legend of the game because of her fantastic gameplay by any means. She was out second on her first season and she like was the first member of the jury on the next one. And she is still one of the people that we consider to be one of the biggest locks to come back. She is one of the most entertaining people in the diary room, yes. In the house. She is just beyond, like, she is modern Big Brother. She is just, yeah. Everything that people have been, that people want. Everybody loves Davon. I don't care if she's not playing the cleanest game, but if this is about her legacy as a Big Brother player, character, whatever it is, altogether, I think she's top tier. And I don't know how she's this far down, but I'm not the audience, I guess. I guess I'm just not on the same page as them. I don't care. I see in the chat, has she ever won this, that? That's not the point. Like, her legacy as a Big Brother personality is way higher than where she is right now on that chart.
We found out today on the feeds that Christmas was contacted to be on All Stars in late May, and Davon was contacted to be on All Stars in July.
You believe that? I mean, I saw that as well, but I was like, no way.
She said that when she tweeted out, like, don't get your hopes up, guys, I'm not on the season, she really hadn't been called yet. It was 2 days later that she got the call.
I don't know what that's about. I mean,
maybe they were just trying to make sure she wasn't going to be on another season of The Challenge.
That's what I, like, did they think she was doing something else? Because I don't see any iteration of All Stars without her. Like, I do agree. She's the face of modern Big Brother. Mm-hmm. I mean, the memes speak for themselves. I see her 20 times from non-Big Brother fans. She's great entertainment. And I think that's always going to be that way, messy or not. I do agree with that.
All right. So last week, above Davon, we had Memphis just chilling there in the upper. He had just made the upper tier. He was in the Enzo spot. In the upper tier was Memphis. This week, he has dropped from the upper tier down. Down to the low
keep
tier.
Keep going.
Yeah.
He is above Nicole Anthony in the low tier Memphis. Big hit to Memphis's legacy, game wise, personality wise. This is not looking good for Memphis, Matt.
good. I mean, his gameplay aside, again, I really am, you know, focusing on the legacy. He's not winning any fans over this season. Between last week and then how he's been acting this week, you know, legacy has a lot to do with, you know, my personal definition of how I'm taking this is how the fans perceive you and how you're seen in the, like, overall terms of Big Brother. And not many people are into him. It's like, oh, this is why you lost. That's a lot of what I'm seeing this week. So this is why you got not a single vote. And the way he's been playing the game this week is just kind of proving to me that he belongs down here alongside Christmas. I mean, Nicole as well. But I think this sounds good to me.
Yeah, his gameplay has been atrocious in these past couple of days as HOH. And I mean, it says a lot for after every time there's a decision, everyone in the house right now is like going back and saying, why did Memphis do that? Why is he talking like that? It's like for no one to be on your side. But Janelle, who, you know, has no emotion, she's like, whoa, what was wrong with it? But besides that, like that's showing you that your behavior is doing something negative in the house and he doesn't even see it. Like there's no mirror in front of him to see how people are perceiving him in the house. And so it's just like, there is absolutely no way you're making it final two, continuing to behave like this because no one's going to want to keep you safe. No one's going to want to vouch for you at all.
Yeah, this has been a bad year for, you know, legendary duos, the Chilltown and the Renegades taking big hits.
Yeah, I mean, Chilltown is its own thing, but the Renegades, people are pretty mad as well. Not just that the guy in the house, the guy out of the house because of the whole who played the game for the people that are actually in the game kind of thing.
Yeah, but, well, yeah, that's another story. All right. How do you feel about this, Dallas? Memphis?
I mean, he could have been bottom tier for me. This isn't how an all-star plays. Just isn't. It's one thing. Look, I like drama in Big Brother. Who doesn't? It's great for an episode. It's great for the feeds as long as they don't cut them. But when it's forced and then when it's just mean, he's just being mean, it feels like. And it's not serving any purpose except for dropping him on this legacy tier list. So I don't get it. I'm not a fan.
Yeah. When he finds out that David was downstairs crying from Danny, and I don't remember the exact wording that he said, but basically saying, I don't give a shit. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Well, I mean, interestingly, Janelle just earlier today was like, get over it. These new players, they get her feelings hurt so easily. I don't think we're going to see a Janelle drop, though. So after Memphis, above Memphis was Kacer last week. This week, Kacer has risen. He has gone up to the top tier. He landed at the bottom of the top tier. He managed to squeeze in there. That makes me feel much better personally. I feel like Kacer is one of the faces of the show with up there with, you know, Janelle and Davon and, you know, like give me like a Rachel, a Dan, a Will. All of those people are like faces, the people that you remember when you think of Big Brother. Yeah. You think, or at least I do. I personally, I think Kacer might have been a little bit lost to the new school Big Brother player or Big Brother crowd. I think a lot of viewers didn't know who Kacer was coming into the season. And they knew that a lot of people loved Kacer back who watched it back in the day. They're like, I didn't really get it. And then I saw Kacer on the season and now I get it. And now he's in the top tier. And this makes sense to me, Asia.
Yeah, and the producers love him. He's always on the feeds. Like, I feel like this is only, like you said, reminded people that, you know, how awesome Kacer is and brought in these new people who didn't see him play the first two times to say, oh my gosh, Kacer is a great guy. And it's like, even though his game is not the prettiest and he's just, you know, wants to set fire to the house and he just, he really wants to play the game. He's, I mean, the only person right now that he has undying loyalty to is Janelle because anyone else is already aligned with someone else. Whoa. I was just caught Tyler just staring at the camera. It felt like he was looking at me.
What are you saying about Kacer? We want him gone.
Who's exactly. Tyler? I thought his name was Taylor.
Trevor. But yeah, so I think that this has only helped Kacer's legacy. Like, we're always going to remember Kacer. Even if he were to leave next week, I think he would still deserve to be in top tier from a legacy perspective. Because like you said, Matt, like, you think of the person, yeah. And I think that's where he deserves.
Yes.
Yeah. My gut reaction was the same thing. I was like, I was just thinking, like, I went to gameplay for some reason, even though I just said everything that I had just said. I'm thinking about how Kacer's played, but then the second Taren started talking, I was like, yeah, no, that's absolutely. If Davon is somebody that's like a face of modern Big Brother, Kacer is certainly up there as well for, you know, the old school season. So I think this makes sense as well. So sounds good.
All right. Last week, just above Kacer was Cody Calafiore. And this week, Cody stays almost exactly the same, almost no change. Almost everybody has changed some amount, moved in a tier, whatever, until this point. Cody, though, remains about the same, a slight bump up, but beyond that, not anything too major. Cody staying in the upper tier in his legacy. I think this makes sense. I'm looking at Cody, and I think he's playing a decent amount better than he played the first time. And I think he played really well the first time. That said, still early, and missing Derek could really show eventually. And I think we're already seeing this week, things are not going super smoothly because you've got a wild card in the HOH. You know, you have Devin is now HOH. Right.
Yeah, I was going to say that earlier. It's a perfect comparison. It really feels like it.
So where's Derek? And he's nowhere to be found. Can Cody handle this on his own? I don't know. And we're going to find out. I'm curious to see. But as for now, the audience feels like Cody is hanging on to his legacy. I still feel like he has the potential to move up if he finds a lot of success in this season. But given how well he's already doing and the fact that that didn't move him up at all, I'm guessing that if he does poorly, we're going to see that they're going to punish him for it, Asia.
I think so, too. I think that in terms of personality, like, we already know Cody's a great guy. Like, he's the favorite Calafiore brother. But in terms of making decisions in the game, people already, like, his legacy is losing to Derek in the final two. And so what he's here to prove is that he doesn't need Derek. But you saw last week, he had to make a decision whenever Kacer and Janelle won safety. He's just like, oh, Derek, why aren't you here? It's so much easier if you were just talking to me or you were helping me make the decision. And it's like, you're not helping your case. You're not helping your legacy. Watch the legacy stock watch. because it's proving the point that he just needs Derek to make it further in the game. And it's not allowing him to stand as an individual, like in our Big Brother memory.
How many weeks into the season until we get a scene? You know how Derek's picture is like towards the top of the kitchen of all that stuff. Like, we're going to get that scene of Cody at the very end of the hallway upstairs, leaning out and talking, like reaching to Derek for some help when he needs it the most. And like, rest assured that that is coming at some point. But as far
sometimes,
as displacement goes,
sometimes I wish they had low angle cameras like that. They could like shoot like Cody sitting in the kitchen, just like looking up at Derek. that would be fun.
We'll get there. We will. Yeah. but yeah, legacy. I mean, I still think, you know, Davon go ahead of him. But as far as where he himself belongs, I feel like that's fine to me.
All right. So above Cody last week was Nicole Franzel. This week, Nicole Franzel also stays pretty much exactly the same right there above Cody. And again, another small bump upwards, but it's very small. She's going to stay there in the upper tier above Cody. This makes some amount of sense to me. I think that if we had done this survey maybe a week ago, if we had done like an early legacy watch for only a couple days last Saturday, maybe this would have been dropping. But I think that Franzel has shown herself to be a pretty capable player, especially over the last few days after she's had her sort of like emotional outburst against Janelle. She's been pretty stable since then. She's been making some moves. She's reeling in Ian. She's reeling in Christmas. She's put herself in a pretty decent spot. She does have people like Janelle and Kacer coming after her, but they're never going to get anywhere with that as of right now. And so the audience does respect Franzel's game, even if I don't think they like her personality all that much, Dallas.
I'm right there with them. I agree 100%. I think Nicole's, you know, Franzel, we'll call her. She's playing her game and she's playing it well. The fact that she reeled Christmas in, got Christmas to think it was in her best interest to save Ian, I think that that is a testament to, you know, she's playing the game. Some of these people, you're watching them on feeds and you're like, when are they going to start playing? And I feel like Nicole has been playing, even to the point, you know, she went right after Janelle too with the costume, something little, but she's planting those seeds, right? It's not bad to have an enemy, especially when they can't really come after you. So as long as she, well, she could potentially win the veto, but as long as she doesn't get backdoored somehow, I think, yeah, I think this is a good place for her. Am I a fan of listening to her cry because she's tired? No.
Oh my God.
Alice. Regardless of all of that, I do think that she's one of the people I'm actually seeing play the game.
Yeah, getting Ian that safety this week, obviously that was all her. Christmas never would have gone out of her way to give safety. I tweeted that, like, I've not seen those two have a single conversation. So we saw the night before the safety competition, Nicole and Christmas were doing a lot of bonding together. Their have-nots this week. They had their meeting with Memphis at the same time and just really seemed to be on the same page. And then the next thing we know, we had a safety competition that Christmas won and gave safety to Nicole's, one of her number one allies in the house. So, you know, just by this past week alone, she's definitely done enough to maintain her spot. But given how fans are receiving her this season, and I can't, you know, exclude myself from that very much, but I can easily see her dropping unless she like maintains like a very good game all along. I think at the second that she slips up, I think anybody will be really quick to drop her down.
Exactly. I think her influence on the house and on the decisions that are made, she's going to have to keep having an impact there or else she's going to fall down because nothing else is helping her. She was just crying just now. No idea why I got after, but it's just like tears every other day, constantly thinking about Janelle is just wants her out because she's so annoying, but like just the social game, and I guess the negativity that comes with all the crying and complaining about the little things like the costume, that helps her, that does not help her at all. But then the fact that she has these influences on the game, she's showing us she doesn't need a showmance to have an impact on the game. She's gonna have to keep doing that to maintain this spot or even go higher. But yeah, if she doesn't, it's not looking good.
Yes. So above Nicole Franzel last week was Kevin Campbell. Kevin Campbell, who was sixth overall in the upper tier of the cast, and, you know, in the Legacy Watch. Kevin Campbell this week has fallen. He has fallen down.
Careful.
Down.
Oh my goodness.
To the low tier, below Memphis, above Nicole Anthony in the low tier for Kevin Campbell. People are not pleased. This is the biggest fall from grace that we will see on the Legacy Watch this week. People are not pleased with Kevin Campbell, Matt.
Yeah, I'm not ready for that big of a jump. I you know, said what I was saying earlier about Kevin this season is like, this is not Kevin Campbell. This is not the one that I know. This is not the Big Brother 11 player that, you know, people were waiting for a while to see if he would come back. People gave up hope that he would come back. And now he's here. Obviously things aren't going very well for him. And he's not really in with the numbers. He's the gameplay is really not there, which for somebody who is specifically known for his gameplay is a big factor in his legacy. I think that I probably would have had him at middle tier, probably around where Bailey is. I think I would even have him above Bailey at this point because you can't just forget the whole season that he played before. Like if this was going just on this season, sure, he's in the low tier. But when you know, this is legacy as a Big Brother player as a whole. And I feel like this is a little too far for him to have fallen. far, a lot too far.
I mean, like when I look at Kevin and his game, if I like, I do see Big Brother 11, Kevin. Like, this is pretty similar to what he did, in my opinion. He trash talked the fan favorites on the outside. Like, he was on the outs. He trash talked the fan favorites, and he kind of weaseled his way to the end. And I mean, it's possible that he gets backdoored this week, sure. But yeah, if he doesn't, I could see him getting pretty far in this game and weaseling his way toward the end. I don't think he'll be as respected as he was in Big Brother 11. I think that he is playing against much better competition this season, and that's going to be, I think, part of his downfall. But I actually feel like one of the main differences here, in my opinion, with Kevin from Big Brother 11 to Big Brother 22 is that his competition is much tougher. And his competition is much more likable. And that's a problem for him, I think, Dallas.
I think what Kevin needs is to just take a deep breath and relax for a second and remember who he is, gain a little of that confidence back. He's savvy. He can read the house if he really tries, and he can win a comp too, dude. He almost won the veto. If he didn't, you know, make the mistake of letting the clock run out, we would have had a completely different turnout.
He also almost won the safety sweep.
So there you go. He can do it. He just needs to relax. I think he's so down on himself. Even the edit they're giving him, he's like, I don't know what's happening. Wait, this isn't me. And he's right. So like, take a deep breath, relax, play your game, because his game wasn't bad. His game was good. It got him to the end. Just about. So I think that's all he needs.
It's one thing to be wrong, but to be loud and wrong.
Exactly.
He's influencing how Nicole Anthony feels. He's playing into, well, he's not even purposefully playing into her insecurities, but he's bringing them out just because he's so adamant about the things he believes, even though he has no proof at all. Yeah. Like you said, if he just takes a step back, relaxes, gain that confidence, then he'll be able to get somewhere in the house. But right now, I think he's almost, I would say he's lower than Nicole Anthony, just because he's the one coming up with these things that he's thinking.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned this on the update this morning, but Kevin Campbell being loud and wrong is very reminiscent of the Big Brother conspiracy theory fan base right now. There we go. Above Kevin Campbell last week was Keisha Smith.
Oh, I can't look.
Oof. Keisha, who was high in the upper tier. In fact, she was at the top of the upper tier, is now a first boot on Big Brother All-Stars. And this is going to damage her legacy. She is going to fall down to the middle tier.
Okay.
To the middle tier.
Okay.
Below Bailey in the middle tier. She's not too much farther down to get to the low tier, but she's hanging in there. She's hanging in there. She's landed in the middle tier. Now, do we think this is reactionary and that Keisha will eventually come back up because we forget about Big Brother All-Stars? Is she the Allison of the original All-Stars, where we just forget that she was on All-Stars and we remember the Allison that really killed it in Big Brother 4? Will she eventually come back up here, Asia?
I don't think so. I think that, for one, Big Brother 10 was so long ago, and the type of like player she is compared to like a Kaysa or Janelle, like we can easily think back to season 6, season 7 to think about just the icons that they are. But with Keisha, it was like, oh yeah, if I go back and rewatch season 10, I remember how I felt when I watched that originally. But I think that the fact that this season is so recent, obviously, I think that that's going to play into just us remembering, oh yeah, she did get out first. She had no idea what was going on in the house. She didn't campaign for herself. I think we're going to think about those things before we think about, you know, the impact she had in season 10.
Yes. I think the people will remember her. I think she'll come back up a little bit. I don't know if she'll be able to get back into the upper tier. I think it's possible. I think that people are going to remember this as Keisha went in, and man, like, she kind of got screwed. She was an alternate. She came on last. She didn't have a chance to pregame like everyone else. And she, you know, she wouldn't have even gotten evicted if not for the safety suite. And man, that sucks. And so let's not dock her too many points for that. I feel like people will forget the sort of like quiet exit that she had, Dallas.
I agree with that 100%. I really think it's not a blessing to go out first, but legacy wise, which is what we're talking about. I know everyone needed a kickstart, obviously, and we're not used to watching the feeds that first week, so maybe it's just that, but it really seemed like everyone was kind of, you know, shaking off the dust and everything. The way that it seemed like Keisha's game was going to go if she stayed in, I don't know if it would have benefited her legacy at all, so it might be better that she goes out now. And yeah, we do stick to the Keisha birthday. We stick to the good old times, you know? I don't know that this is going to tarnish it as much as it would have if she kept playing.
I don't know. When I think of Keisha now, I'm thinking of Trevor and Taylor.
Which is kind of iconic, too. I mean, it's bad, but it's
let's not
iconic.
Live in a world where the first thing we think of when we think of Keisha is Trevor and not birthday.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. I think that if she had played a little bit longer, I really think that it could have been more damaging to her legacy overall. Because if she was going to play like this all season, you know, while the gameplay is really elevated, and you know, a lot of bad reads by everybody, but like specifically by somebody like Keisha, who's not known, again, she's not another person, she's another person not known for being a master gamer or anything. She's known for you know, the entertainment factor of it all. So exactly. If you had like a full season of really bad gameplay, that would have probably given her a pretty big hit. But I think that she will probably come back up. I think she's always been a legend of the game, and you know, somebody that is just well received, well remembered by fans. And with some distance, I feel like that Allison thing will really play out pretty well.
All right, so above Keisha last week was Ian Terry in the top tier, and this week Ian Terry did fall, but not far enough to go out of the top tier. He's actually going to stay in exactly the same spot. He is above Kacer in the top tier, but they are both, it's very, very close between the two of them, and they're both straddling the line, top tier and upper tier. I was actually a little bit surprised about this. I think that this in part will come from the fact that there was a huge discrepancy in how people rated Ian's game coming into the season and how they rated his game in the most recent Stockwatch. He got like something like a close to an 8 out of 10 preseason, and was closer to like a 3 or a 4 in the Stockwatch this week. So wow. I think a lot of people are like seeing Ian on the feeds maybe for the first time and seeing like, oh, this is Ian. I had a different image of his game in my head, and that's probably impacting his legacy a bit. But in terms of personality, I feel like Ian has popped even more than he did on his first season. You know, being able to talk about being on the spectrum, just the sort of like the positive attitude and enthusiasm that he brings to the game. And he had some of that in Big Brother 14, but he also had like a bit of an angry side to him in that season as well at times. And I really feel like he has like matured, and he is a lot savvier at the game. And I'm very excited to see what he does. I feel like in my eyes, Ian's legacy has gone up. In the audience's eyes, it has decreased a little bit, but not quite enough to fall into just the upper tier, because he remains here in the top tier. Asia, how do you feel about it?
I definitely agree. I think that in order for Ian at this point to go down in the legacy Stockwatch would be to just, I think his game would have to crash and burn. Like, let's say he gets on the block and then doesn't campaign for himself or isolates himself or something and is not able to get any votes. And it just is like not the Ian that we would want to see. I think that would be the only thing, because like, I think people are really enjoying really getting to know Ian, like you said, watching him on the feeds. Like, he had that story last night where he's talking about his worst date experience. Yeah. Where, long story short, he had a date lined up. She canceled. So he got on Tinder and just swiped until he got a date that same night, which is so funny. Just listening back on that story is because like he's in Houston. I'm in Houston as well. And he ended up matching someone in the Woodlands, which is the area of Houston I live in as well. And Fun fact, I have come across Ian on a dating site.
No way.
I did.
Jeez.
Which way did you swipe?
I swiped right because I'm like, hey, like we might have something in common, but he didn't swipe right.
Oof.
But
oh, no.
Lost. Missed opportunity. Burn. Yeah.
I know. I'm still
bottom
a fan.
Bottom tier so. For you.
But, right.
All right. Hold on, guys. We got to call an audible on this one. Sorry, Ian. Just,
right. Down.
Get those screenshots in.
Right.
Yeah. Ian, I think it's fair to have him there. I might personally have him in like the tier below him, like at the top of that. I don't know. I think he's right around the spot that makes the most sense. I think the fans are really on his side overall, especially like this season. I think people have always liked Ian, but definitely this season as well. And yeah, I think it would take some probably like aggressively bad gameplay for him to drop a whole lot. I think even if he doesn't show a whole lot, but still kind of just, you know, quietly goes out at some point because people are targeting a winner. I think that doesn't really do a whole lot to drop him. I think he doesn't have much to prove. I mean, he does feel like he has something to prove, but again, he is a winner. He is one of two winners on this cast. So I feel like it really will take a lot to get him to drop too far.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Above Ian last week was Danny. And this week, Danny did fall, but not very far, and she stays above Ian in the top tier. This surprised me, personally. Now, we talked about this on Survivor, when we did this for Survivor, that the players who were returning for the second time, like, for the first time, this was their second game, were a lot more volatile in the Legacy Watch, and the players who were coming back for a second time, third time, they tended to be a bit more stable, and that's, I think, largely because you have a much like broader history that they can fall back on. And so even though I think a lot of people are kind of like not loving Danny on the season so far, they still are able to remember back to their favorite Danny, whether it's BB-8 or BB-13, probably BB-13. And they're not ready to drop her yet. They're not ready to say bye to Danny quite yet here, Dallas.
I'm honestly good with Danny staying top tier. I'm not in the same category of people that aren't big on her. I think she's doing a good job. I think she's her one thing. I think she might be getting too greedy because now she's trying to also work a, she needs to stay opposite of Janelle. I mean, she can't have her cake and eat it too. She's insulated so well with everyone else. Like, you know, stop while you're ahead.
And that's the thing too. Like, I don't think Janelle, when Janelle comes for that group, the Danny, Cody, Tyler, Franzel group, she's not touching. Danny's the one she's already not touching, in my opinion.
Right.
So the fact that she's going out of her way to try to make a deal to keep herself safe, I think is like it, I don't think she needed to.
It's dangerous. It's just dangerous. There's no need.
Yeah, the day her game crashes and burns and people compare notes and talk to each other, like, I feel like that's going to come. It's too early right now to have your hands in so many pots. Like, you know, when we're thinking week three, week four, and something happens to where someone connects the dots that she's in with everyone in the house, like, it's not going to be pretty. So I'm afraid that, you know, that BB-8, BB-13 Danny that we love, is that's going to fade away if it's like a tragic, like, you know, day when her game blows up.
But even when it does blow up, I think that her legacy stays intact. I think even because her legacy is, she's such a big character, even on this season where she's like not a big character, like she's not like going crazy in the diary room or anything like that. She's barely even been in there much, and she's been very vocal about that. But she is just somebody who is not going to ever go down quietly. When she's in power, she's not quiet. When she's, you know, not when she's going to be on the bottom and if she ends up on the block, she's not going to go quietly or anything like that. So I think she's always going to have people talking about her. And for that reason alone, I think she stays pretty much in this tier for the duration of the game. I don't think that I see her slipping. I mean, maybe she slips down like one tier or so, but I can't see her going very far down at all, no matter what.
Yes. And for what it's worth, I think this is the best I've seen her play in her three seasons so
That's
far.
How I feel too.
Yeah. So after Danny, we have our top two. Last week, Tyler was in second place in the top tier. This week, Tyler moved down slightly again. but not enough to move anywhere on this list. He remains above Danny in the top tier, and he is going to remain here in second place overall on the cast in the top tier. I think this is fair. I think that this is where he should be. And I think that, as always, Tyler has absolutely a chance to not only, I think, surpass Janelle eventually, but if he wins this season or does really well this season, I think Tyler is easily up there, you know, in the pantheon.
Yeah, I agree. I wasn't the biggest Tyler stan, BB20. I think it was just the fact, you know, level six and just the fact that he didn't really face a lot of adversity. I think that's what did it for me. But I am liking Tyler a lot more this season. I think I'm really just getting to see the appeal that he had in season 20, which is the same appeal he's having with these people and why he's in good with people. And I'm liking him a lot more this season. So I feel like that's only helping his legacy.
Yeah. And for clarification sake, when I say that Tyler moved down a little bit, and but he didn't move anywhere on the actual list, there's a score associated with each tier. And so there's a number that his number went down a little bit, but he's still in the range of the top tier and he's still above Danny and below Janelle. So that's what that is. Dallas, how do you feel about Tyler?
Tyler, I was huge on in 20. I know that about halfway through, like Asia said, people were kind of getting bored of it because it really seemed like he was just running the show. And it was the, you know, Tyler's playing Big Brother. That's what you watched for. But, you know, you start this season, he looked like a lost puppy. Oh, my gosh. I was like, oh, this guy's going out quick. This is going to hurt him. And then not even 3 days in. And I'm like, wait a second. He's doing exactly what he did last time. He's making the connections. He's got how many final twos? And like, who's saying his name? I mean, yeah, recently they're doing, you know, the four or whatever, but I think Tyler's insulated well. I think Tyler deserves to be way up there. I don't see him going anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Can't disagree with any of that. I think he makes exact sense for where he is. And he's playing a lot better than I ever could have anticipated, because I expected his target to be so much bigger and I expected him to have to play from a different spot than he is.
One of the better players from recent seasons that is on this season. The fact that he is not a target immediately is so insane to me.
Now, yeah, I do think that he is playing not quite as good as he was in Big Brother 20. And I think part of that comes down to the fact that, as you mentioned, Dallas, he had a kind of a slow start. Mm-hmm. He talked last night about how first couple days were really hard for him and he wanted to go home. But his head is in the game now, but like those were crucial days for him to be out of the mix there. And so I think he was already playing from behind, expecting to come in with Casey and Josh. And so, now he is playing even further from behind with having missed those first few days of like real solid work. But he's still such a capable player that, I don't think he's anywhere close to out of it yet.
Yeah, he's got to stay on top of things, though, because Christmas being his number one ally, or one of his number one allies, it seems, obviously he might be like even closer with David as well. If Christmas slips and gets too close to Nicole, and then Nicole and Ian have a thing, and Christmas ends up more on that side, if the group ends up fracturing at any point, you know, you got to be careful. He's got to make sure he's on top of these relationships. And yeah, I mean, exactly. I'm not saying he's not. It's just he has to stay with them going forward.
Well, with Casey, it was such a lock. It was like unspoken. They did their thing and then they did their thing, right? They didn't really have to touch base. And I think, yeah, with Christmas, because she is so gung-ho, you can convince her, you know, once and for all, let's all do it together. I think that, yeah, he does need to maybe touch base with her more and make sure that she knows what the actual goal is for those two, because she could get lost in the mess.
Yeah, but I think he's built enough connections that like even these people that he's paired off with, if he's on the block against them, he's staying.
Yeah,
I think he would against anybody but Cody right now. I think he'd have trouble with Cody. And that's, I think, unfortunately for him, the one he's most associated with. But we'll see. So that leaves us with Janelle. Last week, Janelle was just shy of the Gods of the Game, the Big Brother Pantheon, which I renamed it to because people are like, why is it Gods of the Game if it's not strictly gameplay? So, okay, fine. Timothy suggested, who does the website for the Stockwatch, the Big Brother Pantheon, which I actually liked a lot. So, fine. It's the Big Brother Pantheon now.
Word still says Gods of the Game.
I know. I said that earlier. I'm reading to edit
Gods
it.
Of the Game. Yeah.
I edited it in the survey and then I was like, oh, whoops, I didn't do it on the tier thing. So you guys are going to have to deal with it. I liked Gods of the Game. I thought it was cool, but nobody agreed with me. So so this week, Janelle just barely made it in.
Wow.
To the Big Brother Pantheon. She moved up just a hair, and that was just enough to put her into the Big Brother Pantheon. And there she is. I honestly expected a bigger jump for Janelle because, like, everybody's obsessed with her. In the house, out of the house, everybody's talking about Janelle. Everybody's desperate for Janelle to stay. And so I expected that, like, okay, like, you know, people remember Janelle fondly, but now it's Janelle. Now they're really gonna, you know, boost her score, but not quite as much. And I have to imagine it is a similar situation where it's like, people are loving Janelle, but they're not quite loving the gameplay that they're seeing from Janelle. So it did go up, but it was tempered by that kind of like, oh, but her game is not wonderful here, Asia.
But yeah, that the way people are behaving with her in the house right now, it shows you how big her legacy is. Like, they're thinking it's Janelle. She has to have an army behind her. It's Janelle. She has to have this major thing going on. It's Janelle. Why wouldn't she be aligned with Memphis? Why wouldn't she have all of these people behind her? And so then that's forcing them to, like, believe these things that they're coming up with when she's just... She's doing her thing. She's with Kacer. She's trying to pull in like Nicole Anthony. Like she's not doing everything at the level that they believe she's doing. And it's because of her legacy. And I think nothing has damaged her legacy thus far. And I don't, even if she were to go home next week, I still don't think that that would affect the Janelle that people think of when they think of her in her past three seasons.
Yeah. Yeah. Matt.
Yeah, nothing in this past week has really done much to make her go this high. Like, she hasn't been, you know, all over the feeds in terms of, like, you know, she hasn't been causing chaos or anything like that. She hasn't been the Janelle that we have seen Janelle could be before. And the gameplay is certainly not, you know, pushing people over the edge to say right now Janelle is playing like the god of the game or anything like that. It's really just the fact that her name is in everybody's mouth right now. She is just... all over the house, in every single room and conversation, it has to do with Janelle in one way or another. So just that alone, I think, is really, you know, propelling just from the legend that she is as a Big Brother legend. And then just the fact that this whole entire early part of the season really is revolving around what is Janelle up to? Is she working with anybody? Is she doing anything underhanded that we're not seeing? She has everybody on edge. So I can see why she got that bump, and I wouldn't be surprised if she stays there for a bit.
Yeah. I think this is where she should be, regardless of the outcome of the season. I think on her first two appearances alone, she made a place for herself. She made a seat for herself in the Pantheon. And Janelle will be forever associated with Big Brother in a major way, Dallas.
Yeah. I mean, just the red high heels alone with the star suit was enough to bring her up. But yeah, I mean, it's Janelle. If you take a look at the entire cast, her name being there makes it so much more like, not I want to watch this, but I need to watch this play out because Janelle's there, right? Janelle and Kacer. And so, yeah, I think she belongs there. Do I think her gameplay has really been, you know, that much that impressive? No, I hear a lot of from Janelle conversations like, why is no one playing? Where is anyone playing? And like, it's a little frustrating. I get it that those conversations are kind of to be had, but it's not that fun to watch, and especially from a big name like Janelle.
Yeah, her game might be fun to watch, but she's so fun to watch. Like,
oh, yeah.
Even her conversation with like Bailey, like, why does everyone want to do what the HOH wants?
Yeah, crazy.
He's not going to be HOH.
And Bailey's just like, because
it's the rule.
We respect the HOH's wishes. And she's like, why? Like, that's what does that mean? That was, I'll be honest, that was a little cringy.
Yeah, Janelle to me like just represents everything that the audience wants a Big Brother game to be, literally. Even if it's not the smartest game, because like the only way that Janelle makes it to the end anytime she plays is by just bawling out on the competitions and like being an underdog and fighting her way through and yelling at people and like, you know, screwing over their power structure because they just can't get her out. And like that's everything that the audience wants to see from the game. It's not good gameplay because it's hard to manage to do that, especially now with the competitions being different in the way that they are and the fact that she hasn't been winning them. But she still represents that sort of like she can't play any other way. And so she can't be anything but a fan favorite.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think it was like we know at this point, Janelle or Kacer needs to win in order for them to continue to be safe. Like we know that. So we know that they're not playing a game. I personally think that they need to win in the next.
Look at this week, right?
Yeah, I thought that's true. Too, and it didn't happen. And I think they're still sitting pretty. I agree.
Yeah,
it feels that way. The facade's there that we need to root for them to win. Somehow, they're the underdog.
I think there were like only a few options of people that could have won this HOH that would have kept them safe, and they got a little lucky that one of those options managed it.
Right. Right. I don't know how lucky they're going to continue to be, but I thought it was so funny on Thursday night that Danny and Janelle were making fun of how bad they were at that comp. They were just talking about, oh, we're old suck. Now. Yeah, we suck.
Yeah. I when I saw Janelle's name on the list and everything for her coming back, I felt a little similar to I think how a lot of people felt like, oh, four times. I mean, okay. I mean, I get it. Of course, I get it. If Janelle says yes, they're going to have her on, but I wasn't like as excited. I thought that, you know, there were a lot of recent all-stars that I expected to see over her. So maybe I was just more surprised to see that she was there and saying yes. But like once she's back in the house, you see why, you know, of course she's here, why she is in this tier on the Legacy Watch here. It's just, like I said, she, you know, her name is in everybody's mouth. People can't stop talking about her. And that's not going to change up until the day she gets out. So sorry to Nicole Franzel. But like, just what is she going to do when she gets home and watches these podcasts back, as we know she's going to do, and sees Janelle all the way at the top and herself a whole two rows down?
Not production.
She is. She's gonna call.
All right. So that was the Legacy Watch for this week. This was so much fun. Do you guys have anything else that you wanted to bring up at all before we wrap this up?
I was supposed to change my background because the feeds were going to go down. And we're going to change it over.
Yeah,
to the
where are the kittens?
Or the kitties? I mean, I can just change it anyway, and we.
No, it would be a lie.
There you go.
It's not.
Well, maybe
it's not
I can
true.
Manifest it with this. I mean, I felt bad not changing. I can't believe that it's still not started. That's crazy. But sorry to that's not what you asked. But I had a lot of fun. Really cool to get to chat with Dallas and Asia. So glad we were able to make this happen. And yeah, I don't know.
Asia, any final thoughts?
I agree. It was really nice getting to meet y'all too, Dallas and Matt. But I think that, you know, I can't wait for the veto to happen. I'm not sure what time it'll happen. It's already 8 o'clock there. Like, what are they thinking? The sun should be down by now. So, you know, I don't know how late we're going to get a veto comp and a veto winner. But I know that I want whoever wins I don't know what I want to happen. I honestly would be a-okay with either Nicole or David going home, just because there are so many other people in the house I enjoy watching, because I don't trust whoever Memphis would put up next. Like, I'd be afraid that it could be someone like Bailey. It's just like, okay, let's just keep it how it is. But how cool will it be to see like David win the veto, or Nicole even to win the veto? Like, what would happen then and the chaos that ensues? So we'll see.
I did have a weird moment of like cognitive dissonance earlier this morning when I was tweeting about Danny pitching to Memphis about doing a backdoor, and Memphis was just completely stonewalling her. And normally when I tweet something out like that, I just like instinctually expect a bunch of anger toward Memphis, that like, screw this guy, he's being such a douche to Danny, he's you know, acting like he's so condescending, and he's too scared to make a big move, we want the big move to happen. But in the responses to the tweet, it was like, King Memphis, yes, let's go. What? Shut her down. She sucks. Protect Janelle at all costs. And I was like, oh, whoa. I was just like, of course they think that way. But like, it would just like, it threw me out of balance.
Who are these people?
Normally we're rooting for the big move to happen. But not in this particular instance.
Yeah, it does feel weird to be going into a veto competition whenever it starts. And like, nobody's really rooting for the veto to get won by a nominee. Like, that's right. A little unusual, but that's this week.
Dallas, thank you so much for coming on. Do you have any final thoughts for us?
Yeah, thank you for having me on. This is my first podcast with you guys, so this was super fun. Asia, it was great to meet you. Matt,
you too.
Good to bounce ideas back and forth. Again, yeah, I agree. I don't know exactly what I want from this cast. I want the game to start getting played a little, you know, a little harder. And I think the ball did start rolling a little quicker this week, messy as it was. And I'm hoping that that momentum just keeps going. So, I mean, we'll see what happens with the veto. I do still have high hopes. I'm very excited. But, you know, it's just one of those things. Again, fever dream. Continue to watch to see how this plays out, because I have no idea what's happening.
All right. Where can people find you, Dallas?
So I just started tweeting on a different Twitter account because my main one is mostly Pokemon. So if you guys want to see my big brother hot takes, Dallycat Strike, that's mostly where I'll be. So
not at Dallas Giesling.
Not at Dallas Giesling.
Could you not get it? Like, what's going on?
It was already taken, and so was Dallas Giesling too. So
could have gone off an underscore or something.
All of them taken, dude. You'd be surprised.
You make like do 3 G's like Melissa.
Asia, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter. It's Asia like Asia, so A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A.
And Matt.
On Twitter at Matt Liguori, and that's where I am for all the stuff I'm up to with the Glee podcasting of it all. You can find it all there. So that's it.
All right. And of course, you can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren, or on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. Last night I was live talking to Ovi about some of, you know, the Tyler's game plans coming in, David's game plans coming in. So you can check that out on Twitch if you want. And you can find me, of course, tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today and tonight on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. Tomorrow night is going to be an episode recap after the episode that airs tomorrow night. So check that out, and see you then.